ജയം വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ണു വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹർഷിയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ടാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ജോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ബോഡി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറീസ് ടു ശീല പ്രഭുപാദ നമാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവിം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണേ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനമാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേ വഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാനാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവസാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫല സർവദാ ത്വയ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യദാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തദാ കുരുഷ്വദേവേശ നാദസ്ത്വം നോ യദ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യ സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമന തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യദോന്മയാദിതരദശ്ചാത്തേഷോ അഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൻ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യത്സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാ സത്യം പരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മ പ്രോജ്ജിത ഗൈതവോത്ര പരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവതം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമത്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിംവാവരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപതരോർഗളിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നമഃ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുപേതമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈബാഹ്യനോ വിരഹഗാദരമജുഹാവ പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി സ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അദ്യാത്മദീപമതിദീർഷദാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണുകുനിദാദൃദാനനിന്ദോഃ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരിന്ന കനികാവി കാവി കാവി നമാവോം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിതി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവിൻ ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദബ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസം ഹരിഗദോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാധവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിതചക്രശംഗം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം राधा सहायमिति सुन्दरमन्दहासम् वदालयेशमनिशं हृदि भावयामि कोमलं कूजयन् वेणुं श्यामलोयं कुमारक वेदवेद्यपरं ब्रह्म वासदां पुरतो मम मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम् श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकायै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिपोदिताम् भगवताम् नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथिताम् पुराणमुनिना मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशालबुद्धे विल्लारविन्दायदवत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीव प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्व उपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थोवत्सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसच्चानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयद्रथजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण महनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोरमगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवै नदी कैवर्तक केशव पराशर्यवज सरोजमलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिगदा सम्बोधना बोधितं सज्जनशल्पदे पीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारत पङ्कज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणीन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैर्क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं सामगाहं ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम संकीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द लास्ट टाइम व्हेन वी स्पोक नारायणियम ड्यूरिंग द क्रिसमस हॉलीडेज वी got far up to the 8th canto. That's where we were just started 8th canto. So, as we mentioned before, Ashtamaskandam or the 8th canto is known as Upanishad Skandam. It's called Upanishad Skandam. Why? There is no other canto in the Bhagavadam which speak Upanishad's knowledge so directly like in the 8th canto. 8th canto is a summary of Upanishads. Every stuti, upadesham, everything if you see in the 8th canto, it is all Upanishad. Upanishad. Starting with the Gajendra Moksham itself, the first episode in the 8th canto is Gajendra story, right? So that Gajendra Moksham story is analyzed in the 8th canto. Well, the sense that we saw there that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the beginning itself, what does it say? It says, Absolute Truth is addressed in three different ways. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti shabdyade. Right? In three different ways, the truth is addressed. And Vadandidat Tattvavidam, Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam, Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavan iti shabdyade. It says. So, same vastu. Vastu is one. The truth is one, addressed in three different ways. Three different. Devotees will call it as Bhagavan. The yogis will address it as Paramatma. And rishis who had the darshanam of all the Upanishads, they call the truth as Brahman. Rishis call it as Brahman, yogis call it as Paramatma, and devotees will call as Bhagavan. Vastu is one. That's all it is. So, therefore, in Bhagavatam generally it will say Bhagavan. Normally it is spoken as Bhagavan. So, Upanishad, for example, in one instance, it has used this word Ishvara. Ishavasya vidam sarva. Et kincha jagatyam jagat. In the Ishopanishad, Ishvara is used. So, that mantra in the Ishopanishad, Bhagavatam took it and put it at Alpavasya vidam sarva. There is no difference. So, to stress this point, that Ishvara, Bhagavan, Brahman, Paramatma is one and the same. They are not different. And that is why it is Alpavasyam idam Vishwam. In the first chapter itself, you can see there. Then, 10th verse. Ashramaskandam, 8th canto, 10th verse, first chapter. Instead of saying Ishavasyam idam Sarvam, it says Alpavasyam idam Vishwam. Means the same, right? So, what it means is that see the whole creation, nothing but Atma. Fill it with Atma. That is the message. Fill the whole thing with Atma. There is nothing here except Atma. Alpavasyam idam Vishwam. That is what here it says. Alpavasyam idam Vishwam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Tena tektvena bunchida ma ghrida kasya siddhanam. So what Bhagavatam has done, because Ishopanishad is prior to Bhagavatam. So Ishopanishad mantram, Ishavasyam idam sarvam, Shuka Brahmarshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he puts into Bhagavatam, he uses the same Alpavasyam idam Vishwam. Meaning, fill the world, fill this whole creation with Atma. With Atma. Everything what we seeing, perceiving here, let that become Atma Swarupam. Let it become Atma. Because there nothing exists here separately from Atma. Only Atma exists, right? So whatever we see separately from Atma, we are perceiving. Metal, bricks, mortar, wood, all other kinds of things, they are all just things that has come in Atma in the different names and forms. They are all names and forms. We call them by different names and different forms, is it not? But actually they are not separate from Atma. They are called Namarupam. Atma is the essence. Atma is the essence. It is in Atma that you are seeing all these things. Which one? All these different objects. And we are giving them different names. Different names and different forms. We call it as wood. We call it as iron. We call it as different metals. And different trees. Different leaves. Different flowers. All these different things are all Namarupam. We give them a name and we give them a form. So namam, rupam, these two things are nothing but things what has come from Atma. Atma is the source. Atma is the reality. Not the namarupam is not the reality. So this namarupam cannot exist separately from Atma. Atma is the adhishtanam. Adhishtanam means the basis. Adhishtanam is Atma. Separated from adhishtanam, Namarupam cannot exist. Because adhishtanam is there, Namarupam is there. Namarupam is there. Therefore, that is why Upanishad will say this, Namarupam is not reality. Is not it Unma. Unma means it doesn't have any reality. It is only a manifestation for a short period of time. Anything in this creation. After some time it will disappear. So therefore they are not the truth. What is reality is only the Atma, Alma. So all this creation itself is Alma. That is the, this is the point in Ishopanishad, and the same thing is stressed again in the 8th canto. Yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Now, when we say jagat, that also we got to have a little bit clarity there. Jagat generally means, from the spiritual viewpoint of view, it's not the matter that is jagat. Jagat is the impact of all this in us. That means ragadvesham. What it creates impact in us, ragadvesham, that is called jagat. That's why jagat has to be understood, not in the form of matter. Matter has no meaning. Matter has come today, it will go tomorrow. But what impact it has got in us inside, that is important, because that is what creates our life cycle. Keep repeating birth and death. It's coming from the ragadvesham we have created with the world. Whatever ragadvesham we have created in this world, that is the cause of our next life, next birth, or the miseries of this life. What we have to experience now and in future is all the ragadvesham what we have created in this world. Matter is concerned, it has no significance. They will not affect us anyway. They are just there in a particular form and name and form, and they will go at their own time. So any objects here, what you are seeing as a vastu, which is permanently here, one has to realize that they are not different from Atma. We have to learn that, to be, connect that with Atma. Whatever objects what you find here, vastu, whatever you find here, and so for example, certain things in the in this world will attract us by its beauty or by some qualities. It will attract us, and certain other things revulsion will happen in us. Repulsion. We'll be repelled by. Sometimes people, when they see certain snakes, they feel repels, isn't it? A kind of repulsion you feel. So this way, so both things which you get attracted to, beautiful flowers you get attracted to, or certain other things in this world, wherever attraction comes in our mind, or wherever repulsion happens in our mind, in both situations, we have to see that it is Atma's different forms, so that this Vedabuddhi will go from inside. Otherwise, Vedabuddhi will stay. Vedam has only one thing to say, this Vedabuddhi must go from inside. Right? To see it as Atma means, what does that mean? It means that both the form that is repelling us, and forms that is attracting us, both of them are namarupam that has come up in Atma, in Brahman. Atma means Brahman, another form, word, that's all. In Brahman or Atma, these forms have come up. Some of them are attracting us, some of them are repelling us, according to our vasana inside. So, once you know that it is my vasana that is attracting to a person, or it is my vasana that is repelling me from another person, then once you have known that, then the vasana will go. Vasana will not control you, because we don't know that. When vasana is acting, we are not aware of that. We think we are acting, but actually we are not acting. Vasana is acting from inside. So, this Swayambhu Manu recited one Upanishad in that way, in the beginning of this 8th canto. That is these first verses, right? It manifested in Swayambhu Manu's heart, this Upanishad. This Upanishad, like the way it has manifested in Swayambhu Manu's heart, it is supposed to manifest in our heart as well, in the same way. When will that happen? Actually, Upanishad does not mean a book, that we shouldn't think like that. Upanishad means knowledge. Upanishad means knowledge. So, this Upanishad, like Swayambhu Manu, found it within himself, through his realization. Because he performed many years of penances. You can read that there. That Manu, Swayambhu Manu, eventually realized it. And that's called Upanishad. In the same way, the same Upanishad has to manifest within our heart also. Within our heart also. So, it is not, the point is this, that just like if you get Ishopanishad from the bookstall or from wherever publishers, and you are studying that book, that's not sufficient. That Upanishad is already present there inside us. And you can quote the Upanishads, but we have to realize the Upanishad within us. Only then you can say that you have understood Upanishad. Ishopanishad, for that matter. One Upanishad I'm saying. Same thing with Kathopanishad. Books are there only to know how the rishis have expressed that. But actual knowledge is within us. We have to find it ourselves by our effort. By our effort and Krishna's grace, it has to happen. If you ask the question, is that possible for everybody to do that, what the rishis have done? We are ordinary people. Everybody will say like that, isn't it? We are just ordinary people. How can we be like the rishis, right? Therefore, what did he do? What Bhagavatam say to us? Shukha Brahmarshi is saying to us, you are saying that you are human beings, aren't you? And you are saying because you are an ordinary human being, you can't realize this Upanishad. But, let me tell you, he says, an elephant has realized it. This is how he begins Gajendra's story. An elephant has realized it and he spoke Upanishad at the end. That is why Gajendra's Stuti is Upanishad's Stuti and it is coming from an elephant's mouth. To prove to us, if an elephant can do it, can you not do it? He is asking this question. Shiva Brahmarshi is throwing this challenge to us. You people are telling me that you are all ordinary people, you are not like the rishis, you can't do it. But an elephant has done that. If an elephant can do it, why can't you do it? This is his question. Right. So, you will see this. They do not think that the body is the whole criteria for realizing the truth. In Shivananda Lahari, Acharya Swami mentions there that you don't have to be a human body. Even an animal or a bird or a worm or even a mosquito can realize. Because the same Brahman, Atma, is present in that body as well. We have somehow based on the body saying that they are on a lower body, this is on a higher body and all that. But the Brahman, Atma, which is present in all those different bodies, is the same Brahman. What is present in us is present in the mosquito, is present in the elephant. Everywhere it is the same. Therefore, those who have realized it, whether it is an elephant or if it's a mosquito, if it realizes this knowledge, then their life is successful. This is how the authorities talk about that. They do not think that only a human body can realize the truth. Nowhere it is said like that. You will see in the Ramayanam and Bhagavatam, there are certain instances to justify this, that somehow or the other we have taken this only in the human body, it is possible, isn't it? But it is not so. That Naratvam, Devatvam, all the different bodies are capable of realizing the Naratvam, Devatvam, Nagha, Vanam, Rigatvam, Mashagada, Pashutvam, Kedatvam, Bhavadu, Vihagatvavadi, Jananam. సదా తొల్పాదాబ్జ స్మరణ పరమానంద లహరి విహారాసక్తం చేత్ హృదయసింహ కిం తేన వపుష. దిస్ ఇస్ ద వర్డ్స్ ఇన్ ది శివానంద లహరి. ఇట్ సేస్ దట్ వెదర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ ఎ హ్యూమన్ బాడీ, డెమిగాడ్స్ బాడీ, ఆర్ ఎన్ అనిమల్స్ బాడీ, ఆర్ ఎ వర్మ్, ఆర్ ఎ మస్కిటో, వాట్ ఎవర్ ఇట్ మే బి, దే కెన్ ఆల్సో సమ్ టైమ్స్ డివలప్ భక్తి, డివలప్ భక్తి. సో ఇన్ సల్సంగం, సపోజ్ దెర్ ఈస్ ఎ మాస్కిటో దేర్, ఈవన్ మాస్కిటో క్యాన్ డివలప్ భక్తి. అండ్ దెర్ ఈస్ నో బడీ హూ డస్ మోర్ సర్వీస్ దెన్ ద మాస్కిటో ఇన్ సల్సంగం. సో వై? బికాస్ నార్మలీ ఆఫ్ కోర్స్ హియర్ దెర్ ఇస్ నో మాస్కిటో, బట్ వేర్ ఇన్ మెనీ ప్లేసెస్ వేర్ యూ లిసనింగ్ టు భాగవతం దెర్ విల్ బి మాస్కిటోస్ దేర్. So you will fall asleep, mosquito will come and wake you up. So that's the service mosquito is doing for those who are hearing. And that is that mashakatvam, the word mashakatvam is used there. In Valmiki Ramayanam, there is a story of Jadayu, famous story that is. So he gave up his body, bird he is, gave up his body, left his body and is lying there, dead. So, while leaving the body, the last moment, Ramachandra arrived there. Jadayu said to Ramachandra, "This is where Sita Devi was kidnapped," and also told Ramachandra, Sita Devi will be in such and such a place in Lanka. So after speaking these words, Jadayu left the body. Ramachandra and Lakshmana arrived there at that time. So Ramachandra held that Jadayu's body and held very strongly to himself with very great affection, and tears were coming from his eyes, and he spoke to Lakshmana. Ramachandra spoke to Lakshmana. What did he say? That how Dasharatha is honored by me, and how I remember Dasharatha as my father, worshipable. Similarly, equally, I consider Jadayu, just like Dasharatha for me. And then he says to Lakshmana, Ramachandra says this to Lakshmana, that never think that great personalities or great souls appear only in the human body. Ramachandra says this to Lakshmana. Never think like that. He said they only appear in the human body. Sarvatra ghalu drishyande. In the Ramayanam, this is the words. Sarvatra ghalu drishyande. Sadhava dharmacharinaha. Shuraha sharanye saumitre tiryag yoni gadeshu abhi. He says, in Tiryak Yoni also they can appear in the lower bodies. Sarvatra Shura ha Saumitre Lakshmana, they can appear any body. Mahatmas can appear in any body. Quote referring to Jadayu. That means even among the birds and animals, you can see Mahatmas coming. Jadayu, an example. It is Ramachandra specially refers to this and mentioned to Lakshmana about this. So, in order to prove to the point that whatever body you may have, it doesn't matter. That one who had that surrender inside, deep surrender inside, like Jadayu had for Ramachandra, that surrender, it will depend on that what can happen afterwards. If the person is surrendered to Krishna or Ramachandra or form, whatever that Narasimha, whoever it is, accordingly that force will act through that person due to that Sharanagati. Actually, these things are very difficult to explain because this is beyond science and logic. Science and logic cannot explain all these things. For example, mainly three things in the Bhagavatam is somewhat difficult to explain through logic and all. If you ask logic, there is no logic. You have to accept it based on the authority of the rishis, who knows these topics well. Like, for example, Lord Shiva's position. If you study Srimad Bhagavatam, you will know that it's not much different from Krishna's position, Lord Shiva's position. And it is difficult to understand also, Lord Shiva's position. It's difficult to understand. Even after studying all the Puranams, Upanishads, everything, what is Lord Shiva's situation in reference to Krishna? It's difficult to understand, number one. Second thing, this Radharani's position, Chit Shakti. She is Chit Shakti. What is Chit Shakti is difficult to explain. Right? Chit Shakti, difficult to explain that. And similarly, the third thing is Guru Tattvam, Guru principle, difficult to explain. If you want somebody try to explain to you, you will listen to it, but you won't click that. It won't click in your head. Why? Because these three things has to come through realization. All these three. Ahankaram is Mahadeva. Lord Shiva is Ahankaram, another aspect, isn't it? So his manifestation, difficult to understand. How this has come. From how this Ahankaram has come in a person. Like in the Puranam, it will say like this, spirit is independent, matter is independent. But when they come together, Ahankaram comes from there. Sankrishnamurti, Balaram, whose another manifestation is Shiva. So their position is difficult to understand. Ahankaram is difficult to understand. You can think about it a lot, but any intellectual analysis, you won't get an answer from that. How this Ahankaram was born. In the same way, this Chit Shakti inside, which is called Haladini Shakti, in the Bhagavatam, or Chit Shakti, how that operates, where does that come up? Because it is from Chit Shakti, so many other forces are coming, isn't it? All the different intelligence, mind, all these different forces within us, they're coming from this Chit Shakti. So, Chit Shakti's origin, how that is originated. In a personal form, we address Chit Shakti as Radharani. That's all it is. So it is difficult to understand. Where is it coming from? Number two. Number three, the principle of Guru. Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, Guru is not different from me. I am inside as a Chaitya Guru. Almano Guru Almaiva. Purushasya Visheshada. And I take a form and come outside to send your attention inwards, push you inwards, right? Almano Guru Almaiva, Purushasya Visheshada, Pratyakshena Anumanabhyam Shreyasam Anivindade. Krishna said this to Uddhava. Uddhava in the Ekadasha Skandam. So these three things, Lord Shiva's position and Chit Shakti or Radharani's position and this Guru's position. We will never understand that by reading books. It has to come only through realization. By reading books you won't get it. You can read it, there is a lot of explanations to all this in the books. Guru Tattvam, there is so much explanation. And properly to get an experience of that, it has to work. Only when the Guru Tattvam works, you will understand what Guru means. Up to that point, we will see Guru is the form, Guru is that body, and we have to worship the Guru, massage his feet, all kinds of understanding will come to our head. A totally different understanding we will develop within. Why? Because till we experience that Guru Tattvam, how Guru Tattvam works in a person, Guru is non-different from Krishna. Krishna himself is coming and helping us to come out of this ignorance, ajnanam, isn't it? What they say that ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana sharagaya chakshur unmilidam yena tasmai shri gurave nama. We offer our respects to Guru for what? He takes the ajnanam from inside. So till that ajnanam is taken out, you won't know what a guru is. Only at that time you will realize what guru's power is, guru's position is, when that ajnanam goes away from inside. So these three things are normally difficult to understand. Even by studying books, hearing a lot, you may not, till you get some realization of that. Okay. So, when one surrenders completely to Krishna, and instead of being dependent on one's own ability, one's own strength, or on things what we are depending on for our strength, like people find strength in their wealth. We have a lot of money, so I'm not bothered, people will say either. So, or their contacts, relations and friends and position in the society, all these kind of things. As long as we are dependent on all these things, Krishna's manifestation, you will never understand. Krishna's position, you will never understand. This was spoken in relationship with the Hiranyakashipu's story. Prahlada says to, Prahlada says this to Hiranyakashipu. He says, Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlada, where do you get all this strength from to challenge me like this? When Hiranyakashipu was torturing Prahlada, Prahlada was answering back and saying to him that you also getting the same strength from the place where I am getting the strength. Strength is only one, balam. Balam is only one. It comes to you in one form, it comes to me in another form. Balam me vaikuntha tava jagadam cha bisabalam sa eva trailokyam sagalam idi dhiro ayam agadil. Vidashrunvan bala prakaramakhilam tulstudibaram rushanda prahainam kulahadaka kaste balamidi. Balam me vaikuntha stavaja jagadam cha bisabalam sa eva trailokyam sagalam idi dhiro yamagadil. That but Prahlada took Narasimha's shelter, saying that this whole creation is dependent on Narasimha. Who? Prahlada said. Whole creation is dependent on Narasimha. Narasimha is the basis, he said. And therefore, Brahmavidya or Upanishad manifested for Prahlada. Upanishad's knowledge, that's what we are reading about Prahlada in the 7th canto, isn't it? When Prahlada spoke to his friends, he spoke Upanishad's knowledge to them about Atma, and about the soul and about the body. The 12 qualities of the soul and the 6 qualities of the body. He explained to them. So where did this come for such a young boy? It is that Upanishad has manifested. So Upanishad manifested for Prahlada in the 7th canto. Here, now we have the story of an elephant, Gajendra Moksham, Gajendra's story. And for an elephant, how the Upanishad manifested, that is this story. Then you saw in the beginning of that 8th canto, Triguda mountains and very thick forests all around, plenty of animals in there. And the king of all those animals were, normally king of animals is the lion, is it not? So therefore he gets the name Mrigendra, the Indra of all the animals, right? But here, Simham or lion is not the head. It's an elephant. It's a big difference. Normally it is always the lion, the king of, isn't it? King lion. So it is not, instead of king here it is, instead of the lion, it is an elephant. Therefore it was called Gajendra. So normally a group of elephants, they will always have a leader. And here we have a huge a group of elephants, and their leader was this Gajendra. This Gajendra is not only a character in the Bhagavadam. We can see a lot of Gajendra in this world. You can see a lot of Gajendras in this world. Sri Shukabrahmashi made it symbolic like this. what he is telling us, that there is a lot of Gajendras in this world wandering around. He said, but instead of saying personally about them, he used this word Gajendra. So this Gajendra's nature, if you read that Gajendra's description here, if you read this Gajendra's CV, you will find it matches with a lot of people in this world. Their nature, it says. Very powerful. And that too is a leader. Is the leader. That means, what that means is, he had a lot of faith in his power. This is one of the nature of those people. They have a lot of faith in their own strength. They can handle it, any situation. And he also has faith in himself, and he has faith in his associates who is with him, other elephants with him. He has faith in them as well. That's where all his strength is coming from. In his own strength and in the strength of his friends who is with him. Right? So these two things are normally present in these Gajendras who are present in this world also. And normally their attitude is very proud of themselves and walking around in this world as though they cannot be controlled. So much arrogance inside and ahankaram inside, right? Normally, elephant has got a problem. Their must comes out in a particular time during the year, right? And that must is considered to be the ahankaram inside. So this is called madam. Madam that comes from the flowing, that liquid from their forehead, right? So here for the elephant, it has its own ego, ahankaram, inside. Added to that, this thing that is coming from the body as well. So because of that, this powerful male elephant, he lives in the forest with a group of large number of elephants. He is staying in the forest. And he was living very well, comfortably in the forest, because he had the total control of the place. Everybody was under him. They have to listen to him, otherwise they know what it will be, it will happen. So he was very happy, this elephant was very happy. So for a person in this world, when does he feel happy? He feels happy mainly when he feels secure here, isn't it? Security. When he feels secure, everything's no problems, every side, you can't expect anything happening. He's feeling security here. That security feeling makes him happy. That's when you feel comfortable, is it not? So you can see people are running around all over for various things. We are working hard to earn money for this purpose, to feel this security. We buy home and build home or whatever for this purpose. We get married for this purpose. We have children for this purpose. All gives you a sort of security in life. So you can see that if you have your own children, you feel that you some security there. At the old age, there will be some help from that. So in all different ways, when you start feeling secure in life, you feel happy. You don't feel any anxiety. The anxiety goes away from inside. That means sometimes you feel that we forget this one main point, that Krishna is maintaining this place. Krishna is protecting everybody in different ways. And it's only because of Krishna's protection that we are able to live here. That we forget very easily. And instead we think that the money will protect me, or friends will protect me, or my family will protect me. And ultimately what happens is, you will forget Krishna. You will forget Krishna. Just like you can see, people have so much faith in so many things. Is it not? False it is, but still the faith is there. Children may help at that time, or a nice house may give you shelter, or you may think the government may give you shelter, NHS may give you shelter. All these kind of thoughts will come. So, they may temporarily give you a false shelter. Temporarily you may feel some false shelter. And due to that, from that shelter, you will develop a ego. Ahankaram inside will come from that. For example, you can see if you have loads of money in the bank, and if you have a good home and a good job or business or whatever it is, when all these things are there in life, then you will ask the question, why do I have to waste my time in studying Bhagavatam? For what? It's just a waste of time. That's the way you will think. So, and even if you do take some interest, it will be like a fashion. That you may go sometimes, people come to the temple, they will offer the obeisances, look at the deities, take a few photos of the deities, and then they will go home. Right? But because of all these things, that does not mean that they have depending on Krishna. That doesn't come. They are doing like a fashion, they come to the temple and they will take some prasadam, they will sing some songs, they will dance. All those things they will do. And because in the modern days this taking photos is important thing. Part of the devotional service, it seems. Looks like that to me. So, as soon as you see in the morning, four or five of them with their mobile phone, is this the temple business? What can you explain to them? They won't understand that Sharanagati won't happen from all these things. This is nothing to do with Sharanagati. So, till Sharanagati happens, that will not happen. Such people who come to the temple, but they see the deities, and they participate in all other things, and then they will go home. But their understanding has not gone very far. They have not progressed very much, right? So, that means depending on Krishna in life hasn't come yet. So, such people sometimes, Krishna won't let them go like that. So, in a particular stage in their life, Krishna will give them this understanding that whatever faith you had so far, it's all false. Krishna will give that understanding to them. And we will only enjoy that life up to that point. You will also realize that this happiness in life, what I am getting from this, is not really any happiness. It doesn't mean anything, right? So, and there will be a change of heart in them. One time it will happen at some point in time. It may take a long time, but some point, it cannot go on like this forever. Initially it will be like that. You'll come to the temple, look at the deities, look at others, meet some friends, and talk about your glories and their glories, listening to that. All these kind of things will happen at the temple. But that will not lead to surrender. That is the initial introduction to Krishna consciousness, you can say. But later, some point in time, you will realize that this is not good enough. What I am doing is not giving any happiness. It's all false. You will realize that. And it is not the way I want to be. In the same way, our Gajendra also, this Gajendra in the Bhagavadam, he had his friends, male elephants and female elephants, all together, a huge group. They go into a huge lake there, and that lake, plenty of water, and it was the summer season as well, so it was quite hot, and cool water in the lake, and all around the lake, plenty of trees with flowers, and beautiful trees all over. So, and not only that, it says in the Bhagavatam that the flowers that's fallen from the trees into the water, because the smell from the flavor of these the flowers was such that even the water was smelling from the powder that is fallen from the flowers, right? So, and this powder, that like thing that has fallen from the flowers, it's all over in the lake. So this huge Gajendra gets into the water with all the elephants, and they wanted to play in the water. So he was taking water with his trunk and throwing it on female elephants and having fun together. And the female elephants also were throwing water on the, like people do in the water. Family, they come together, they go to the seaside or rivers and play in the water and throwing water at each other. So in this way, they were having great fun in the water. If you see in the 8th canto, in the 2nd chapter, how they were playing, it's mentioned like that. You look into the 2nd chapter, verse 26. So pushkarena adhradashikaram bhubir nipayan samsnabayan yatha grihi. Yatha grihi. Shukha Brahmarshi feels for us. He knows this householder life is like this, always planning for enjoyment. Grihi. That's why I use the word grihi. In grihasashramam, that is a problem. Both husband and wife is always making plans. She makes plans, he goes along with it, or he makes plans, she goes along with it. Either way, it doesn't matter. Therefore, grihi is the word for that. That they are in the household and life, so always the plan making going on. How to making plans, how to enjoy. Yatha grihi, isn't it? So deliberately, Sri Shukha Brahmarshi used that word grihi. So pushkarena adrata shikarambhubir nipayayan samsnabayan yatha grihi. Like grihi, he says. So Sri Shukha Brahmarshi is saying here, when you get into that water of lake, what danger is underneath the water, you don't know. You don't know that, isn't it? Without knowing that, they got into that water. What is that lake? Lake is our life. Lake is nothing but this material life here. All that is spoken in the story like this, but we must look at the tattvam behind that. Tattvam is this. The lake is nothing but our life in this world, material life, right? And we take the water from this material life and start playing with it. And he could have said like that, they just played with the water, the elephants. He brought this word into it, yatha grihi, he says. He could have said without using that word yathagrihi that the elephants got into the water and played with the water. But he didn't stop there. He wanted to compare that with us. Yathagrihi. That's why that word is important. Anyone who speaks this 8th canto, Gajendra story, they will speak about these two words a lot. Yathagrihi. Right? So there an example given. He wanted to compare this. Yathagrihi. He's saying there, this grihastashrama, householder life, is like a dark well. And thinking that while you are in that well, you can enjoy. So how the householder tries to enjoy his life in this world, similarly, our Gajendra wanted to enjoy in that lake. So, what that means is, a false feeling of happiness comes to us in householder life. A false feeling that everything is comfortable in family life. What do I need anymore? Everything is going very well. So, when that false feeling comes inside, how serious we take Krishna consciousness then? Very little. When you feel security and happiness in life, in every way, then you can't take Krishna consciousness seriously. It's not possible. Therefore, same thing happened to Gajendra also. Gajendra is playing inside that water freely. He doesn't care for anything else in this world. But while playing like that, enjoying and playing like we all do, it is at that point something came and caught on his leg. And he didn't even look at it, what it is, because he doesn't care. He has so much confidence in himself. Oh, I can manage everything. I don't need anybody's help. Who is there to challenge me? This is the mood, right? So you will see in the Gajendra Moksham story that Melpatu mentioned, Hu stavala devala syabishaval grahi budastajale vartamanam jagrahenam hastinam padadeshe shandyartam hi shrandidosi swaganam. Melpatur said to Krishna, Hu hustaval devalasya vishaval grahi budastajale vartamanam jagrahenam shastinam padadeshe shandyartam hi shrandidosi swaganam. Shandyartam hi shandidosi soganam. So, this crocodile which caught Gajendra in the water will catch everybody here in this world also. It will catch us one day. It will catch us. And that is the word used is andhakaram. Andhakaram. If you look at the Bhagavatam, what the word used is andhakaram. The 33 verse 33 in the second chapter. Yakaschanesho belinondakoral prachandave kadavidavado brisham bidam prabannam paripatiyal bhayal mrtyu pradhavatyaranam tamimahi. The last verse in the second chapter. He says that verse 33. He says yakaschanesho belinondakoragal. One day this will come to an end. This show will come to an end. Then we will realize that there is a crocodile here. Up to that point, we won't realize. When we get caught up, Melpatur says like this, Shandyartam hi shrandidosi soganam. Shandyartam hi shrandidosi soganam. That why did you do this? This crocodile came to Gajendra, caught his leg. And in our life also, one day that crocodile will catch us. There is no doubt about this. If you have only thing, you have to wait some time. If it has happened already, if it has not happened already, all you have to do is to wait for some more time. It's on its way. To think that there is no crocodile here is illusion. Ultimately, it will come in the form of nothing else happens, disease and death. That's it. And then this whole show comes to an end. Is it not? Up to that time, everything is fine here. All going very well. You feel security, happiness, everything from this world. But when that thing happens, when you realize that there is no shelter anywhere else, totally surrender, you have no choice then, is there? That completely realize at that point that I have put my faith in all the false things in this world. My money, my health, my friends, my society, all these are nothing but false things where I have put my faith. This realization will come, and that is when that crocodile catches us. When the crocodile hits us at that point, the whole thing will change. Overnight it can change like this, the life. But at the moment we are all smiling, aren't we? Now we are laughing at it, isn't it? But when that crocodile comes and hits us, you won't be laughing anymore. That's the point. That is the important point. Shukha Brahmashi is conveying this to us. Yatha grihi. Like the householder. He started with that. The householder creates this artificial or false security in this world and feels happiness from that. But Shukha Brahmashi is saying there, Gajendra was also like that. He used to feel a lot of faith in his own strength and his friends and relations and society, all that. He had a lot of faith in all that thing. But when, what happened? Kuhusta val devala syabishaval, devala maharshi cursed this Gandharva Huhu. And he had to come here in the form. Always you will notice this. Once one man's prarabdham will be linked with somebody else's prarabdham. That's how in the life it works. If you are, it is so complex, this whole thing called karma. Krishna himself says this, is it not? In the Bhagavad Gita, what does he say? Gahana karmano gadi. Karma, don't try to understand. You will never understand karma, he says. But one thing you can always observe, that one, your prarabdham, if you are suffering something, there will be another person involved in that prarabdham. So, somebody will come to your life in the prarabdham, will come in some form and give you trouble and go after that. Whether you like it or not, there is, you have to immediately realize that there is some prarabdham between that person and me. And there is one incident happened to Prabhupada when it was in Chicago, I think, in the temple. One Indian doctor who was practicing in America at that time, he came, some devotees went and encouraged him to come and meet Prabhupada, and they brought him. He had a little different understanding of life, so he challenged Prabhupada a lot in that meeting. A lot of questions he asked, and he said, I was not satisfied with the answers and all, he said. So the devotees felt that that he is very offensive because of their Guru Bhakti. They took it in the wrong way, things like that. The young boys, they didn't know anything what was going on. So what they did was, they thought that we should teach him a lesson. We should, because he is not agreeing with what Prabhupada, we are all agreeing, why he can't agree, this is his point. So they were forcing him to agree. He got upset with them also. So it became a big issue in the temple, and eventually he walked out, drove his car and went away. So after that, the young boys, they came up to Prabhupada and said to Prabhupada, that he is really bad person, isn't he? And look at the way he is behaving. What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said to them that I had some prarabdham to go through in my life that came through that person, and I'm just accepting it that way, he said. This is understanding. That in life something happens like that. Immediately to think that person is responsible, somebody else is responsible. It's my own prarabdham has come through that person. Prabhupada gave that answer to pacify them. They were thinking of going after him and getting all of him and giving him a good thrash him for his offensive behavior. Whatever that may be. What I'm saying is that when we have not, don't understand the things in the proper way, how we can react to situations and sometimes end up in serious difficulties like that. Right? So, that's why Bhagavatam uses the word yakaschanesho belinonda koragal. That, what it says is that, that at the time, that the time is considered to be like a snake. Opened its mouth and closing it on us. At particular time it will close and that's it. Finished everything. And it is very powerful that time and very fast as well. It's not. And we, because we have, when you are frightened like that, we take Krishna shelter at that time. And Bidam prachanda vegat abhidavato brisham. Bidam prabhannam parivadi yal bhayal. Mrityu pradhavatyaranam tamimahi. Death personified is frightened of Krishna. Frightened of Krishna. I take his shelter, said Gajendra in these prayers at the end. Is it not? So, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi did not say this story, Gajendra story, just like a story in the Bhagavadam. If you carefully read the Bhagavadam, you will notice these things. He could have just spoken that as a story and left it like that. We are not looking at the particular words he has used there. Because if it is spoken simply as a story, which happened millions of years ago, that Gajendra, there was an elephant like this, he stayed in the Trigoda Parvata mountain, and he had this whole incident what happened there. If a story was spoken like that, it doesn't mean anything to us today. So what he did was, what Shukra Maharshi has done that he used certain words deliberately to compatibility with our situation in life, in this world. You see, Srimad Bhagavatam is not a story that has happened thousands of years ago or millions of years ago. Everything has a relevance to our life in this world today. So while studying Srimad Bhagavatam, we should find out what that relationship is with our life today. What is its what is its connection with us today? Otherwise, it is like a storybook. You are reading from the old history books like that. It becomes a storybook then. But its relationship with our life today is more important. So therefore, Shukra Maharshi used deliberately the word Andhakoragad. You see, ya kaschanesho belino Andhakoragad. Andhakam. Andhaka means death personified. Uragam has come, has caught. Uragam means snake or sarpam. That when this crocodile in the form of time comes and catches us, right? What is happening to us is, what happens? What happened to elephant? When the crocodile caught him, initially he thought, I'll just shake it off. Like we also think the same thing. When a trouble comes, we think we can manage it, we'd shake it off. But he couldn't shake it off. He tried. He thought that if I just shake it, it will go away from my... I am so powerful, he was thinking like that. So, this is how we also think in life, when the danger comes in life, right? When you are very comfortable, there's plenty of wealth, and you have plenty of people to give you help at that time. And he never thought, we don't think normally when everything is going well, right? That one day, I could be in serious trouble. We never think like that. Not even in our dreams, you won't think about it, right? So, and even if some distress comes, we think, I'm sure we can sort this out. A confidence in him, in us, isn't it? But this crocodile is not leaving our Gajendra, right? It is very powerful. So Gajendra tried very hard to pull, but it's not leaving. It's still not leaving. He's not able to get it out from his leg, right? He used all his strength to pull the leg freed from the crocodile's mouth. At that time, there were so many other female elephants with whom he was playing with. He told them that pull me all together and he'll go then. So they all came in and they started pulling him with their strength as well, right? So, no hope at all. Nothing is happening. He's not leaving the leg, right? So then the male elephants, which are much stronger there, they were also there. They also tried to help. That's also not working. Nothing is working. So this Andhakoragam, see the word he has used. Ya kaschanesho belino Andhakoragal. Andhakoragam, when it comes and catches us at the last minute, when we leave this body, the same experience, what Gajendra had, we will experience at that moment, when we leave this body. Leaving the body is not going to happen like this, is it not? Perhaps many years of sickness, perhaps many years in the hospital or in a care of others. How it will all end up, who knows? Nobody knows how each one of us will end up at the end of our life, how we will leave the body, isn't it? At that time, you will start thinking, this verse is making sense. Which one? Ye kaschanesho belino andhakoragal. Prachanda vegad abhidavado brisham. So, and what happens when we get so sick and ready to die, and we know more or less this is the end, there is no going back. At some stage, at the end, we will realize this. There is no more possibility of getting the old life back. From now on, it is downward. Yeah. Once that comes, then you will see a change in us, our thinking also. We'll realize it, that my strength is no use anymore. This is, everybody knows these things, but only thing they won't take notice of it. Everybody knows this. At certain stage in life, you know very well that it is beyond your control, beyond our control. And at that time, even if you have invested all your energy and strength into it, you will realize that you can't save from the situation. Sometimes you can see young people, then they feel very strong in their body, and they go to the gym and build all the muscles and all that. If you look at their faces, you will feel how confident they are about themselves, is it not? They think that this body will stay like this forever, is it not? That's the thinking behind it. I will always be well trimmed and all, you know, look at the muscles, and there's a whole industry running on that, isn't it? So many people are on getting jobs from that. So that's good. So, but the illusion that is created from that, the strength of their, ready to challenge anyone, won't listen to anybody, won't care for anyone, doesn't care what happens to others. A kind of nature like this builds up inside. Total arrogance and everything comes from that, right? So, when this situation comes, they should look at their own body, which they have been taking to the gym for the whole life to build up, and thousands of pounds invested in that body to build it up. What a waste of money that was. At one point you will realize that. All their so-called faith in their body, at the end, when the whole body is going day after day after day, it is losing, and it's not coming back again to the health. Doctors also give you some indication that there is not a lot we can do. We are helpless about it. They can't help. What can they do? They have their own limitations, haven't they? Then they will think that we'll try this. If this is not working, we'll try something else. Their experiment starts then. Because for them, they have to write their reports, what all they have done, so that's all. But for you, you're like a testing ground for them. So, your strength has gone. At that point, you know very well that that's it. It's no more escape from this. And what else? Up to that time, you had all your so-called family and friends. They were coming and visiting you. Oh, everything will be alright. You'll be back with us and we'll all be together again enjoying life. Isn't it? This is what they inject into us. They bring you flowers and bring you cards and all. At one point you don't want any more cards. Because you can't read the card. And you don't know even who has sent the card. It always happens. This all the time, if you look at people's life when they die, that when they're very close to death, people are sending cards to them. Because you don't have the time to go, so I'll send them a card. So, what card? What can card help at that time? So, that means the people whom you have invested all your faith in them, in these falsities, thinking that they will be able to help you at the time of death, or when you are in great distress, they also quietly withdraw after some time. Then you will ask, when is the funeral? The next question, that's all, I'll come for the funeral and that's it. That chapter is closed then, with that, isn't it? So, at least only at that point, you will realize this, what Gajendra Shivabrahmashi is saying is the truth. That somehow or the other, falsely, I put myself, my faith in me, and in all these friends, all the family members or friends, I put my faith in all of them. I never put my faith in Krishna. Now what happened? Krishna has shown to me that the only place you can put your faith is in me, not in yourself or in your friends. Krishna has convinced us indirectly in this way at the time of death. That's what he's saying. Yakaschanesho bilinondagoragal prajandavegadavidavado brisham bidam prabennam parivadiyal bhayal mrityu pradhavacharanam tamimahi. That at the time of death, this realization will come to everybody. Everyone will get that realization that I can't trust in my own strength. I can't trust in anybody else. This won't come till that point. This is the difficulty. Up to that point, we will put this false faith in everything else and we will continue living like that. But at the last moment, when you realize that the body is going, all your family is going, the friends are going, everyone is going, you are left on your own at that time. So at that time they will say that sometimes you have to see at the time when somebody is very ill and in the hospital, lying there. It's almost close to the time most of the people have realized that he is dying or she is dying, right? So what happens is, nobody has time, isn't it, in this world. So people will come to visit. All the family members will come to visit, right? So they will talk to each other. You keep an eye, I'll come back. I'll just go and come back, he'll say. And he'll go. He'll hand over the responsibility to you. So this is the nature of this world. So only someone who is so committed, all other family members will put everything on their shoulders and the others will escape. They'll go away from there. Not that they don't want to, but they are not able to. They are not able to. They have got their own limitations, isn't it? So they can't help either. So same thing is here also. All elephants who are there, they all said to each other, you take care of it, I'll come now. And saying that they left. So these elephants who are around us also, at that time, this is what they will do. The so-called family members, this always happens. Some excuse will be there for them to go. This person is dying, so they're saying he's dying anyway, what's the point? We can't do anything about it. So they will go away. And one family member, sometimes no family member will stay. They will all go. And you will be left there. The nurses will be there because they are there to do their job. And you will leave the body. Probably the hospital will phone you up and tell you, yes, left the body. And then you have to make the further arrangements after that, isn't it? So while he was leaving this body, all these female elephants which were playing with him, they were talking to each other. These elephants were... Shukha Brahmarshi has recorded all that, their conversation, what they were talking about. He says there that the female elephants say, children are crying for food. The female elephants are saying, said, let's go home and give them some food. They'll be starving, right? Saying this, all the female elephants escaped. They used the excuse of the children and then they left. They left, right? Ultimately, there were two male elephants left behind. And for some time, they looked at our Gajendra and stood there. Finally, one of them told the other that you stay here and look after him. I'll go and send somebody else to relieve you from here. All this happens every day in life. With the so-called family life, right? And saying that one also left. So there's only one left. One elephant left. So in all over the world, in all countries, all villages, and in all places, this is not different. This is the same situation. You will always find everybody will put all responsibilities one person's head and they will all escape from there. Right? So in the same thing happened. So this one elephant stood there and after some time he also thought, how long can I stay here? Look, I have to do everything. That's not possible. He was saying like that. So what happened was, Gajendra turned to him. At that point, Gajendra came to his senses. Gajendra turned to him and told him, you also go. What does that mean? Gajendra is seeing that I had all these friends before me. Where are they now? They have all, because he is observing all these things. They have put everything on this fellow's head and they have all gone. So Gajendra says, why you struggle now? Proper knowledge came to Gajendra at that time. That is the moment he realizing this. That, so he says to this person, the other elephant who was given all the responsibility, he says to him, you go. Why do you stay? Nobody else is staying. Why you have to stay? This is my prarabdham. Gajendra says this. This is my prarabdham. You can't do anything about it. He said like that. So, there is no point in you standing here. You also should go. This is my prarabdham, he said. And so, what did that elephant do? That elephant says to Gajendra, yes, this should not have happened to you, but unfortunately it has happened. Saying this, he also left. So, it is at that point that Gajendra is realizing, I have nobody else here except Krishna. Hari Smriti Sarva Vipat Vimokshanam. This is the word used in the Bhagavatam. Hari Smriti, remembering Krishna, is Hari Smriti Sarva Vipat Vimokshanam. In all difficult situations like this happens, the only shelter is remembering Krishna. Hari Smriti, important line in the Bhagavatam. Hari Smriti Sarva Vipat Vimokshanam. In all danger, there is only one shelter. All danger, Sarva Vipat. What is that? Hari Smriti, remembering Krishna. Hari Smriti Sarva Vipat Vimokshanam. There is no other shelter. He realized that there is nobody else here for me, and for me, it's only me alone. Then, and my own strength is not of any help in this case. Whomever I have believed before, they have also gone. And now whom shall I take shelter? This is his, you will see the words before 33, 32. Look at Gajendra's words. You will see what Gajendra is saying to us. Namami me jnadaya maturam gajaha kridakkarinya prabhavandi mochidam grahena pashena vidhatura vrado pyaham jadam yami paramparayanam. Namami me jnadaya maturam gaja kridakkarinya prabhavandi mochidam grahena pashena vidhatura vrado pyaham jadam yami paramparayanam. Gajendra's thoughts inside. He is saying that these friends of mine, family members and the friends, they couldn't help me. Then the strong male elephants, they couldn't help. Then what these female elephants can do for me? Right? I am being bound by the rope. Through this crocodile, I am being bound with my own ropes. What are that ropes? My own prarabdham. And therefore, I am taking Krishna's shelter. He is saying this. Aham chatam yami paramparayanam. Paramparayanam. So, here, Gajendra is not just the elephant. In each one of us, there is this Gajendra. In all of us, this Gajendra is there, isn't it? What's that Gajendra? Our ahankaram. Our ego, ahankaram inside. That is Gajendra, right? So, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, my life, it is in my control, and if I decide to do it, it will happen. And all these things, up to a point in life, it may all work out. Up to a point in life. But after that, we will also get convinced of this, that our strength and our faith in all these things, in whom we have faith, their strength is also not with us when it is required. At that time, we will start thinking like the way Gajendra has thinking. Up to that point, we won't think like that. This is the problem. It has to come very strong, forcefully. We have to be taught this lesson. When Krishna puts that death in front of us, and when we have to leave the body, leave this world, and so many years we spend here doing all kinds of things, And in 1 minute you are told that you have to go from here. Everything is over. At that point you start realizing, where is this world? Where is these friends? Where is this family? Where is the money? What value has it got at that time? Gajendra is saying here, what shall I do? And he says here that, he says, the word used is vidhatav. You see that? Grahena pashena vidhatur avrudo. Vidhatav. Vidhatav means who controls your destiny. Vidhatav. So, this crocodile is put the ropes around me and it is going to pull me now. More or less he has realized that. Because he had been, they have been in thousands of years in the water, it says in the Bhagavatam. That crocodile has been getting plenty of food from the meat of the flesh of the elephant's leg and the blood. And he was getting stronger inside the water. So he realizes that, and our elephant was getting weaker day by day. You know, when you get sick, the old age comes, and when the sick comes, when you become sick, how this body becomes day by day weak and cannot do anything on its own, depending on so many others for help. And at that time, you look at that person's face, you can see this was the person at one time running around all over this world, trying to be the master of everything. But here he is lying now in this bed, in this situation, right? So, whom will you take shelter at that time? That some powerful force in this world is operating behind it, isn't it? That suddenly where did all the strength go from this body? How did the body become like this? So that unknown force is operating and controlling us so forcefully. So at that time, now we are seeing that force, we have given a form to that, and we are worshipping that form. It is that force we are worshipping, who is changing everything all the time, isn't it? So, we worship a particular form with this understanding that it is that force that has taken this form. So, only thing is, it's a form. We have two-handed form deities, and we are given an extra set of forms, Vishnu's form, but worshipping the same form, isn't it? So, in one of the prayers addressed to Lord Shiva, this prayer is important. There's a famous devotee. Shiva had a very famous devotee called Pushpadanda. This Pushpadanda offers his prayers. These prayers are very popular in the north, more than in the south. In the north, it's a Shiva Mahimna Stotram, it's called. There, Pushpadanda says this in those prayers. Says, addressing to Lord Shiva, he says, some people address you as Vishnu, Some people address you as Shiva. And even when they address you as Vishnu, they address you in different names. Ramachandra, Krishna, Narasimham, Vamanam, Parashuram, Balaram. In different forms, they are addressing you at the same time. And when they are addressing you as Shiva also, they are addressing you in different names. Shiva also has got different forms in that way. So, Pushpadanda says to Shiva like this, I don't know who you are, but different names, devotees are addressing you in different ways, different times, right? Sometimes they call you as Vishnu, sometimes they call you as Shiva, and sometimes they address you in different ways. Therefore, whatever it may be, I will offer my respects to you. Whoever it may be, I don't know who you are, because everyone is addressing you. Devotees of Shiva will address you as Shiva. And somebody will address you, Shiva, also in different names, right? And similarly, Vishnu's devotees, they also address you in different names. Mahavishnu, or Ramachandra, or Narasimham, Krishna. In so many different ways, people will address you in that way. So what did he say? He says, Yadrishohi Mahadeva, Tadrishaya Namo Nama. Then, whichever may be your form, I don't know what that form is, I offer my respects to you. I offer my respects to you. That I am not capable of ascertaining your qualifications, your position, your form, your color, or you, where you are living, all these things is unknown to me. All these things is unknown to me. I don't know where you are present. You are present everywhere. But people say that you are staying in one place, and where that place is, I don't know, he said. So Gajendra says the same thing here, that if you look Gajendra's prayers, you will find this, particularly this, as I mentioned before, Upanishad Skandam is Ashrama Skandam, 8th canto. So when he, Gajendra's prayers itself is in this way. He says to him that this powerful force that is present in this creation, and this whole creation itself is running under his control, completely surrendered to him, the whole creation, completely surrendered to him. The creation has no freedom to do anything on its own. It can only do things according to his desire, that force that is operating. And when the whole creation is going on like this, we alone, out of our own ignorance, that we are thinking that I have to do this, I have to do that, we have to do it like this, we have to do it like that. If I don't do this, this life will get destroyed, and I have to look after myself. And in this way, lot of vritti, thoughts comes in. That's called ahankara vritti or abhimana vritti. So there are many examples to explain this, how to understand how our ahankaram operates here, our ego operates here. A person was traveling in a train, he has got a huge box of luggage he had to carry. So he, after boarding the train, he kept the luggage on his own head. He didn't put it on the floor in the compartment. So somebody asked him that, why do you carry this suitcase on your head? He says that the train is carrying all of us, so much effort for the train. So at least I thought, my box, I don't want to put that responsibility on my suitcase. I don't want to give it to the train. I'll carry it myself, he said. So whether you leave it on the floor or whether you leave it on your head, the train has to carry you both, in either case, isn't it? So similarly, that this, when this whole creation, Krishna is running it like this, Krishna's power manifestation is operating in this whole world, we are thinking that if we don't do something, this world is going to come to an end. That's the way the big leaders are thinking about that, isn't it? There is no proper understanding, basically. Then when the whole world is run by Krishna, under whose control this whole manifestation is working, and even the creation doesn't have any freedom to do anything on its own. And when Krishna can maintain this whole creation like that, why do we feel that we have so much responsibility in our head about running this planet? So that is why, what can you say? Forget about this creation itself. Within our own body, it is Krishna who is running this, is it not? Nobody can deny that. Breathing is concerned, digesting the food is concerned, circulation of the blood is concerned. All the different activities of the body, which is that force keep this body going, that is not in our control, is it not? When we go to sleep, and Krishna puts us to sleep when he wants, Prakriti, which is under Krishna's control, Prakriti forces us to sleep when we are tired. Prakriti forces us to eat when we are hungry. So in every level, the control is somewhere else, not inside us. Is it not? Not in the ahankaram, I'm saying. Antaryami is control. And this Antaryami, who controls this whole creation, is controlling us also. We are very, very small, minute thing in this. So, and we also don't know how this body is functioning. We haven't got a clue how this body is functioning. How the nerves functions, how the different blood circulation, purification, all kinds of activities, we understand little bit here and there, no doubt. But do we really understand this body? Nobody understands this body. Nobody understands. So, suppose that force which is controlling this whole creation, that force is telling us, look, from now on, we will hand over, I'll hand over all this responsibility to you to run this whole place. Suppose if that happens, what will be the situation? Imagine that we don't even know that Krishna can run this factory nicely. This factory. Krishna can run it nicely. If Krishna says to me that you run this factory properly the way it is, I won't be able to do it. I won't be able to do it. Because, because it is like a factory inside, isn't it? The food I have eaten, the processing going on inside. How does that happen? We are such people, we won't eat anything because we've got so much work to do. We'll say, some people don't have time to eat, you know. They don't have time even to eat. They're that busy, right? So similarly, the food that has been eaten, if that has to be digested and separating the energy from the food to give us strength to do the various things what we want to do, we don't know how to do it. It's only Krishna who is doing that. Aham Vaishvanaro Mukta Praninam Deham Ashrita. Krishna is saying that, isn't it? Now, who can deny this? Whether it is the United States president or even an ordinary man in the street, in both these two different bodies, Vaishvanara is the same. He is doing the job. Otherwise, American president also can't do his work. The average person in the street also can't do his work. Both Vaishvanara has to do the work of digesting the food and extracting the energy from the body. So, Krishna has not put that responsibility on us. Krishna said, I'll keep that to myself. I'll manage that. Which one? Digesting the food is concerned. Similarly, the air, breathing air is concerned, right? So, every way if you look at it, you will see that ultimately there is only that power which is present here, who is doing all these things. We, whom we think is a big power, doesn't really have much value. Our ahankaram has no value really. It's only a false thing, thinking about ourselves that we are running the show. It is our ignorance, ajnanam. Krishna is running the show. Krishna, we call that Shakti, that power as Krishna. So Krishna is running that show and everything else is simply an illusion in our head. That is why they say, Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Nidrarubena Samstida. When we have to sleep, we are forced to sleep, aren't we? We have no freedom. When you are tired, you have to sleep. Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Nidrarubena Samstida. Namastase, Namastase, Namastasme, Namo Nama. Offer of respects to her. Similarly, all other things, Shudharubena Samstida. In the form of hunger, she comes and tell us, eat now, you need food. We have no choice, you have to get food. How can you control that? Whether it is sleep or whether it is eating. Then, Smriti Rubena Samstida. There is a whole list in the Devi Bhagavatam how Prakriti is controlling us. Smriti Rubena Samstida. Smriti Rubena means that you are remembering everything what happened yesterday. What you need to remember, you are able to remember. How is that possible? Because of Krishna's presence inside. Yadevi Sarvabhudeshu Nidrarubena Samstida, Shudharubena Samstida, Smritirubena Samstida. In this way it goes a whole list of things what Krishna is doing for us, being present within us. Right? So, nobody has been able to give this explanation how the sleep comes to us. Proper explanation to us. We are tired, okay, but why does it come in the form of sleep? It could be in another form, isn't it? So, is there a switch in our body? No. It just comes like when they put the anesthetic in the body, how you go off from this world. In the same way the sleep is it not? When the sleep comes, so, and in the morning, how we wake up from that sleep, also we don't know. We don't know that, isn't it? We wake up, and when we remember everything, what we have to do, what we have to do next day, isn't it? So smriti. But all those things is not in our control. We are not saying that, oh, I have to remember this, so that's why I'm remembering. Okay, you can put it in your Outlook or in your Google calendar and all that. But that is, you are doing that. But able to remember things from what you have thought that I should be doing it tomorrow, that is in your smriti, in your memory somewhere. It is kept like that, isn't it? So, in different ways, that power is operating in this world. Only thing you have to look to yourself and see that, how that power is working all the time. In the middle of all these things, this ahankaram comes. I am the doer. That's what happens. This is all going on in the normal way. But in the middle of all that, I'm thinking that I am the one who is managing everything. And it pops up, and even though you are not doing anything, you are thinking that you are doing it. This is how ahankaram works, isn't it? Ahankaram works in this way. This is why this ahankaram is difficult to understand. That's why this, what I mentioned in the beginning, that who is Lord Shiva, difficult to understand. You can study whole Srimad Bhagavatam or all the Vedic literature. Even today, this question remains unanswered, Shiva's position. It is Krishna in another form, but what is that relationship? Nobody understands. Nobody understands. Similarly, Radharani's position, Chit Shakti, that's coming from inside. Hladini Shakti, not able to explain that properly. Same way, Guru Tattva, these three things. So, everything is happening under its control. Under its control. And this realization has come to Gajendra at this point. It took a long time, didn't it? You can imagine, think about ourselves. Take this whole thing into your own life and see what goes on here. We are also like this Gajendra, isn't it? Thinking that I have to do this project, that project, and so much. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, the results must come. And so many ways you are making plans and trying to control the situation in this life here. Even though 99.9% is done by Krishna himself, by maintaining this body, looking after this body, allowing it to function in this way, the senses, the mind, the intelligence, the memory, everything. Krishna is saying all that, is it not? That, so Krishna is running everything, but I am thinking I am running. This jnanam inside have to go. That is what he is saying. Gajendra, but when will I realize this? Not now. I won't realize that Krishna is running it. But when the last minute, when material nature takes this body away from me, at that point I will realize I was not running this. Somebody else was running this. So it takes a whole lifetime of experience to come to this conclusion. To come to this conclusion. Till up to that point, it is not possible for us in the normal state to realize this. We keep on doing things, thinking that I have to do this, I have to do that, I am the one who is making this decision, I am the one who has to manage, if I wasn't there, it will not work. All kinds of crazy ideas in my head. But at one point, when Krishna takes this body totally from me, completely take it off from me, saying that, I have given it to you, I am taking it back. When that happens, at that moment I realize that I was not running this. I'm not this body. Secondly, body is not mine. This realization, body is not mine. And third, body is not for my enjoyment. These three things has to happen to us at some point in time. There is no other way to come out of this body. I'm not this body. Body is not mine. And as long as I am thinking that body is mine, therefore I am trying to do all sorts of, trying to fix it this way, that way, and thinking that if I can somehow save the situation from death or from disease and all that. But practically we have very, very, very little control on this body. That realization must come. If this realization is there, What is the advantage is that you are acting in knowledge, and therefore you will not go too far to protect this body. It is pointless once you know that this body cannot be protected. It is under some other control of some other force, not in our own control. So what can you do about it? So that is why it is saying here like this, that he mentions like this. And you will realize this one day, at that point, when you are losing your control over the body, when it is taken away from you. So that all these things is not my power. To convince us, it takes such a long time. And that energy or power that controls this whole thing, whose is that? Actually, that force is doing everything here, right? In the middle of all that force, my ahankaram pops up. I am doing everything. That force is doing everything. But in the middle of that, my ahankaram pops up and says, I am doing everything. Very difficult to trace him, find him, that. And it is that ahankaram, which is called the jiva, is that what we are trying to deal with. So, and if you inquire, where did he come from? You don't know where he has come from, isn't it? And at that time you realize, actually, he has no existence. And once we have realized that he is not real, this ahankaram is not real, and he has no existence, then what happens? That means when the ahankaram has completely gone, that force which is keeping this whole creation going will keep this body also going. And Gajendra understood that. That is what it is mentioned in that. Yakaschane shobalina andakoragal prajanda vegha adavidavado brasham bidam prabannam paripadiyal bhayal mrityu pradavatyaranam tamimahi. It took a long, long time for Gajendra to come to this senses. Poor Gajendra, over hundreds of years, he carried on with his life in that ahankaram. At the last minute, when he got this situation like this, the whole understanding changed inside. He realized it, I cannot depend on anyone. And he surrenders. So Gajendra's story is a very, very, it is so relevant to us. Pertaining to us, that if we have to learn one thing from this Gajendra Moksham, is this: Krishna is running the show, not us. We'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanam arjanam vomahad avagne nirvavanam shreyakkaitava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadanam Sarvatna Sovanam Varam Vijayade Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namagari Bhudanija Sarva Shakti Trapida Nimida Svarnina Gala Eda Adrushita Vakrava Bhagavan Mama Mundaiva Mida Shamiha Janina Nuraga Tranara Vishuni Jaina Taro Rabi Sahishuna Amani Namana Dena Kirtani Yasadahiri Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shagamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shuri Bhavadad Bhakti Rahe Dugitvai Ay, Nanda the new Jagingaram, Padidamam Shame Pavambudu, Krabayado, Bada Banga, Justita Duli, Sadrasham Michindaya, Mayanam Galada Shodaria, Vadanam Gadgadayagira, Purgay, Najam Gadawa, Tavanam and Grahani, Pavishedi, Yugai, them Nameshena, Chakshusha, Pravishai, them Shunya, them Jagat Sarvam, Govinda Verehe enemy, Ashleshava, Padredam, Vinashtuma, Madashanam, Mahadam, Gadodua, Yadat, Rava, the Ladulam, Romal Pranamata, Sunayavana, Vera. Sarvatra Govinda Nama Sankirtanam Govinda Govinda. Gajendra says to in the prayers, Yakaschanesho Belinonda Goragal Prajanda Vega, last verse, Abhidavado Brisham Bidam Prabannam Parivadi Albhayam Mrityu Pradava Charanam Tamimahi. The last verse in the second canto, eighth canto, second chapter. He's saying here, due to whose power alone this body was running around in this world. Gajendra is saying this. And due to whose power alone this wheel of time is changing everything here. Everyone is, people are coming, going from here. Is it not? So Kala Chakram, how that is, wheel is turning, I surrender to that force. That's how he said, I surrender to that force. With this surrender, Upanishad knowledge came up in the heart of Gajendra because of this surrender. That is how it happens. How does realization comes to us? When we surrender to Krishna. Is it not? It's not an exchange of two things. What happens is, when in this extreme situation, what Gajendra was forced to come to, ultimately he realized that I have no other shelter. And he said that I take the shelter of that force which is controlling this whole creation. I foolishly thought my ahankaram was controlling everything. My force and my power is of no significance compared to that supreme force operating in this world, maintaining so many living entities. Not only me, not billions of living entities, so many living entities in all this creation. Who is maintaining the, keeping it going? To that force, I surrender to him. As soon as that surrender happened, the knowledge woke up inside. Upanishad's knowledge came to him, to Gajendra. That's what it is saying here. So this is what we are talking about in the beginning today. Upanishad is not a book. Upanishad is a realization which has to happen within, at some time, with this surrender. So that time what happened was, when Sharanagati happened, the Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of the self which was sleeping inside, woke up. Brahma Vidya, which was sleeping inside, woke up at that moment. Due to that Sharanagati, due to the surrender. So, if you look into the third chapter, in the eighth canto, Gajendra Uvacha, Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yada Yada Chidalpagam Purushaya Dibijaya Pareshaya Abhidimahi. Then Yasmin Idam Yadaschedam Yenidam Idam Swayam Yosmal Parasmascha Parastam Prabhadye Swayam Bhuvam. Those two verses is that waking up of the Upanishad's knowledge from inside. Brahma Vidya waking up inside. Due to that Sharanagati of, in the last chapter you can see Gajendra surrendered. In this chapter, Brahma Vidya waking up inside. So this knowledge is in everybody. We all have the knowledge inside Brahma Vidya. Only thing is, it hasn't woken up. That's the problem. That waking up of Brahma Vidya is called Upanishad. That is the actual Upanishad. Upanishad, only thing is, Rishis have put that in the verses form. Therefore we call it as Upanishad. So Melpatur mentioned this in the he mentions there that in the seventh verse in Gajendra Moksham story, he says this, that Artivyakta Praktana Jnana Bhakti Shundolkshiptai Pundarigai Samarchan Purvabhyastam Nirvisheshalpanishtam Stotra Shrestam Sonyagadil Paralpman. Artivyakta Praktana Jnana Bhakti Shundolkshiptai Pundarigai Samarchan Purvabhyastam Nirvisheshalpanishtam Stotra Shrestam Sonyagadil Paralpman. So, what he is saying there, he said, you look at the word, there he uses the word purvabhyastam. Purvabhyastam means that in previous life, what he practiced, who? Gajendra. Purvabhyastam. In previous life, whatever he has performed, abhyasam, whatever he has practiced, which is, whichever form he has worshipped or the knowledge he has practiced, that's more important. Not the form he has worshipped. Purvabhyastam. Purvabhyastam means in previous life, what he has performed, the abhyasam. Abhyasam means practicing it. So every knowledge, if you have practiced it, it becomes yours later on. So here also you will see the same thing. Purvabhyastam nirvishesh alpanishtam stotra shrestam sonyagadil praalpan. Purvabhyastam Nirvishesha Atmanishtam. This Gajendra, in his previous life, that what he has done, that Nirvishesham, he uses the word, Nirvishesham Atmanishtam. Nirvishesham, that was his Nirvishesham. That was his Abhyasam. Abhyasam means that Nirgunam, without any qualities, without any three modes of material nature present. So, therefore, he is saying here, Arti Vyaktam Praktana Jnana Bhakti, first line, in the seventh verse, Shundol Kshiptai Pundarigai Samarchan. In the previous life, he has practiced knowledge and devotion, both. Indradyumna he was, isn't it? Previous life he was Indradyumna, king. He was a Pandya king, royal family of the Pandya kings. He belongs to them. He was a king, Pandya king. And Indradyumna his name. There he has practiced Jnanam and Bhakti at that time. In this life, when the Prarabdham is going to finish, at that time, this knowledge, this Upanishad, Jnanam Bhakti means Upanishad, what he has practiced in his previous life popped up in him. That's what has happened. The Jnanam and Bhakti, what he has practiced in his previous life, that popped up in this body of Gajendra when Prarabdham finished. So, in previous life, this Upanishad Tattvam he had experienced before. But due to that unfortunate incident, Agastya Maharshi walked in one day. And Indradyum, you have to think in a little different in this thing. When you read Bhagavatam, first thing you will think, oh, he made an offense, that's why he got it. Isn't it? We will put him down, who Indradyumna. See how offensive he is. So, Agastya Maharshi told him, you become an elephant. Why? Because in an elephant's body it is samogunam, totally. There is no hope of escape. But actually, that is not how you understand that story. What actually happened was, this Indradyumna, previous life, Agastya Maharshi's disciple he was. Agastya Maharshi, when he came to see Indradyumna, he realized he could see his prarabdham. Indradyumna's prarabdham. He had to go through this prarabdham, and this prarabdham is the only thing that is blocking his liberation from that body, Indradyumna's body. So he thought that let me give this body to him, and once that body gets through, he is finished, he won't be here anymore. He is escaped from here once for all, he is liberated. So out of compassion for Indradyumna, Agastya has done that. Agastya Maharshi has done this. Not out of no rishis, sages will curse anyone with a vengeance or a revengeful way. If you get cursed by a sage, you can take it's for your benefit. Throughout Bhagavatam you can look at that. Nalakovera and Manigriva. By getting cursed by Narada Maharshi, got the opportunity to meet up with Krishna. Isn't it? So many incidents in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will find the same thing. Parikshit got cursed by Sringi. What happened? Got the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukha Brahmarshi. Everything in the Bhagavatam is like this. It is not, the rishis don't curse anyone. They don't have, if they have done something as a punishment, the end result will always be very favorable. Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasav Maharshi. To show to us that Ambarish Bhakti is required even for a rishi like Durvasav. It ended up Durvasav learning a lesson from that. Through Durvasav teaching this world that jnanam tapascha vinayanyidam evamanyam, that jnanam is good, but Krishna is saying that's not good enough. Vinayanyidam evamanyam, vinayam, humility is necessary. Because the symptom of a person with knowledge is humility. They're connected each other. The symptom of a person with knowledge is humility. So he said this, Vishnu says this to Durvasava Maharshi, that you are great, you are a great personality, Durvasava Maharshi. Jnanam, highest level of self-realization. But you didn't have that vinayam or humility of Ambarish Maharaj, I can't do anything about it, he said. Jnanam, you have jnanam, knowledge is concerned, you are above Ambarish. Tapasa, austerities and penances, you are above Ambarish. But Vinayam, you are below Ambarish, he said. So without humility is a symptom of knowledge. So jnanam tapascha vinayanyudam eva manyam, he says. That you didn't have that humility, therefore I can't do anything about it. So he sent Durvasa Maharshi back to Ambarish again. But any time when Durvasa Maharshi cursed Ambarish, you see not, sent Kritya to kill him and all that. But ultimately you can see Ambarish was feeling that of gratitude to Krishna and Krishna's protection and made Ambarish to surrender more to Krishna with that experience, right? So everything is good in spiritual life. Whenever we get cursed by a rishi, you can more or less take it that it is only for our benefit, upliftment. We are not going to go down, we are going to go up in spiritual life. So all these examples, Parishis examples, Ambarish example, Rahugana's example. Rahugana was, Ahangaram was top on Rahugana's head. Is it not? And this Rahugana and challenged our Bharata Maharshi. Bharata Maharshi treated him like a, told him that you talk big, big things, but you don't know anything, he said to him. Did he not? You remember? In the fifth canto? Akovida, Kovida, Vada, Vada, and he says. Big argument you're putting. Because Rahugana studied the books, you see. That's the problem. He studied all the books, but he didn't have any realization, poor man. He was struggling. So, but due to and he forced our great personality, Bharata Yogeshwara, to carry his palanquin on his shoulders and carry him. And normally you would have thought that Bharata Yogeshwara could have cursed him and pushed him down to the lowest level of body. He didn't do that. Instead, due to that association with Bharata, Rahugana escaped from this world. So every story in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see this one important thing. Association with a great soul under any circumstances is good. Is good. It will eventually turn out to be beneficial to the person. So here also that Purvabhyastam Nirvisheshatmanishtam Stotrashrestam Sonyagaril Paralman said this to him. Then previous life he has practiced knowledge and devotion. And in this life, the prarabdham is finishing in this body. Therefore, that Upanishad knowledge popped up inside. That's what he's saying there. Purvabhyastam nirvishesh atmanishtam. Atmanishtam means Brahmanishta, Brahmavidya, popped up inside. Then, and that is the reason why you can see there, the Gajendra prayers begins with the pranavam, om. For this reason, because it is Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya is always like that. It will begin with the word Om. Remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Om ityekaksharam Brahmam. If you look at the 8th chapter, you will see that Om namo bhagavate yasmai yadachidalmagam purushayadi bijaya pareshaya abhidimahi. It says like that. So, in the Bhagavadam, there is only in 3 places you will find prayers beginning with this letter Om in 3 places. So this is one of them. So from where does this whole creation has come? That's how he begins the prayers. He says, Purushayadi Bijaya Pareshayabhi Dhimahi. Eta Chidalmagam. Chidalmagam means that Chit Eva Alma. That is Chidalmagam, which means that whole creation, where did this come from? That, because this is what we were discussing this morning, that chit shakti, we cannot understand that properly. Isn't it? Chit shakti, guru tattvam, and Lord Shiva's position. These 3 things. Even if you study books, even someone explains to us, because this same question came up. Prabhupada asked this question to, he had a godbrother by Sridhar Maharaj. He's asking Sridhar Maharaj, what is Lord Shiva's position? And Sridhar Maharaj also mentions there, the same thing he said, that Lord Shiva's position is difficult to understand. Sridhar Maharaj says this to Prabhupada, because Sridhar Maharaj was considered to be very learned compared to everyone else among Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples. So Prabhupada asked this question in Mayapur when he came back from America. This issue came up again and again. People will ask this question about Lord Shiva. So that's when he answered it this way also. He said that Lord Shiva's position is difficult to explain to anyone. It is, even if you study Shastram very much in depth, take for example in the Bhagavatam, how many places Lord Shiva has come in? And one of the most interesting stories in the Bhagavatam is that teaching Daksha, the lesson, right? And the way Lord Shiva has taught that lesson to Daksha. What happened to Daksha? Daksha has committed an offense. He's singing, Shiva is my, what do they call it, son-in-law, isn't it? He's my son-in-law. But he is not son-in-law, he is somebody different than all that. So, lack of that understanding in Daksha. And Daksha had this problem. What was his problem? Shaiva Dvesham. Anyone offering respects to Shiva, and he openly talks that to everybody. And he said this to who? To Sati Devi, to Sri Parvati. That who is he? After all, a son-in-law is supposed to get up when the father-in-law comes in. I am Daksha Prajapati coming in, walking in. Everybody got up. Shiva didn't get up. And he got so upset about it. And Lord Shiva answers that later very nicely. He didn't get up. Why? Reason is this, he said, that people who are in the bodily concept of life, they will never understand me, he said. Dehabhimanam. Dehabhimanam is Daksha. Identification with the body. Not knowing his position. Right? Among the 12 Mahajans, Swayambhu Narada Shambhu. Shiva is the third. Kumara Kabilo Manu. Kumara is the Swayambhu Narada Shambhu. Kumara is the fourth. Four Kumaras. Way before that is Shiva's position among the Mahajans, right? Prahlada comes later. King Janaka comes after that. Mahabali comes still further down. Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Beli, Vyasaki, Shugabrahmarshi comes after that. And then after that, Yamadharma Raja says, it's me, 12th. So if you look at that, how do they call it? The chart of the Mahajans. He's on a very top position, one of the top. Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, first three. He is there. Apart from Brahma and Narada Maharshi, it is Shiva, greatest devotee. And his position is difficult to understand in the Bhagavatam because he is a devotee. At the same time, he is the storehouse of all the spiritual knowledge as well. So therefore, it is difficult. Sridhar Maharaj said this to Prabhupada. Difficult to explain Lord Shiva's position in the hierarchy, spiritual hierarchy, which we will never understand. In the same way, position of Radharani is difficult to understand. Chit Shakti. So it is that Chit Shakti is referring here. Yada Eda Chidalpagam. Chidalpagam means Chit Shakti is power operating, right? So that Chit Shakti is difficult, he said, because this whole creation is coming from that Chit Shakti. From that Chit Shakti. And why? Because Chit is dependent on consciousness. Bodham. Bodham, right? Chitta means Bodham. Bodham means this creation makes us aware of its existence. That's what it means. Just like, suppose I'm looking at this world, I feel the building is existing, the mountains are existing, rivers exist, the clouds exist, the sky exists, the elements are existing, the trees, the plants, the creepers, variety of things here, they are all existing. How do I know that they are existing? Because of Krishna's, Radharani's presence in them. We call it as Chit Shakti. Chit Shakti is presence in them, which is nothing but another aspect of Krishna. So, due to the whose presence, we feel the existence of this creation. That is what that is referring to. Chita Chidalpagam. So, because if I do not have that awareness inside, and she is present inside me as my awareness, we will not be able to feel the presence of all these things in this world, in this creation. So, So that is why they use this word prajna. You will know. Prajna is the word used in the Shastram. Prajna means bodham. If I have no prajna, prajna is the reason behind it. Because I have prajna inside, I become conscious of everything. The existence of so many things. So it is this prajna, the I called prajna. Prajna, due to that, I feel the existence of all the dead matters. They are all jadavastu, isn't it? These are all jadavastu. Jadavastu means dead matter. There is no life in them, but I feel their existence due to that. And why? Because inside me, I have this awareness of my own existence. And therefore, inside me, that awareness is there, that I am existing. And at the same time, I am seeing the dead matter outside and seeing their presence, their existence equally. So, you can see, for example, this mic, it's a dead matter. This does not know that it is existing. I know this is existing. Why? Because there is bodham in me, awareness in me. Because I have bodham in me, I am conscious of this existence. Whereas the mic on its own does not have any bodham in them. So it does not know that it is existing. That is the difference between me and the mic. I see the mic, I see the mic is existing because there is bodham in me. Whereas mic doesn't have the bodham, and mic does not know that it is existing, nor the mic knows that I am existing. Neither. You see the difference? So, so that is important thing. I am looking at the mic because of my awareness inside. Actually, my eyes are not seeing that, not even the mind. But it is that awareness that's registering the existence of the mind in me. So, in the same way, the whole creation, I am registering it in me due to my awareness inside. And when I start looking things like this, so many names and forms are coming up in this world, which are all dead matter, isn't it? But behind this dead matter, there is you who is present. Gajendra is saying that Om Namo Bhagavate Tasmai Yadaye Dachidal Madam Purushaya Di Bijaya Pareshaya Bidimahi. Then he is qualifying that statement, presence of Chit Shakti. How? Yasmin Nidam Yadaschedam Yenedam Yaidam Swayam Yosmal Parasmascha Parastam Prabhadye Swayam Bhuvam. That words. Third verse. Yasmin nidam yadaschedam yenidam yaidam swayam yosmal parasmas chavarastam prabadye swayam bhuvam. Then. So, Melpato, what he did when he wrote Narayaniyam, because his understanding of Bhagavadam is so much in deep, he did not want to simply write in line with the Bhagavadam everywhere. So what did he do? He realized that Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna is going to talk about it later. So what he did, all this knowledge in this Upanishad Skandam, he took it there and mixed it with the instructions there in the Ekadasham. You will find that in the Narayaniyam. Same thing, Jadabharata and Rahugana conversation in the fifth canto. Melpathur, after reading it and chewing over that and thinking about it in depth, he sends that this is not different than what Krishna is saying to Uddhava. I may as well leave this now, whole thing here. In Ekadasham, I will discuss it in detail. So everything finally came in the Ekadasha Skandam. Jadabharata's discussion with Rahugana, and here this Upanishad's knowledge, Melpathur left it to the 91st chapter in the Narayaniyam. You will see there the same thing. If you go back into the 91st chapter, how it comes. All the chapters after 91 is this tattvam that is spoken, what we are seeing here. From 91 onwards, all these things he has summarized. You can see this part particularly has come if you look into the chapter 98 chapter. This third verse in the third chapter of the 8th canto, Melpathur puts it like this. Yasminve tadvibhadam, the first verse in the 98th chapter. Yasminve tadvibhadam, yeva idam abhavadyena chedam yayedal, yosmal uttirna rubhakhalu, sagalamidam bhasidam yasya bhasaha. Yo vajam dura duri, punarabhimanasam yasya devo munindraha. No vidyu tatvarubam kimu punarabharai, Krishna Tasmai Namaste. Melpathur summarized this Upanishad's prayers from Gajendra to Krishna. Instead of saying that here, the same words, Melpathur took it and in his own inimitable style, he put it in the 98th chapter of the Narayaniyam, the first verse itself. You can see that verse and this verse are very much the same thing. Here it says, Yasmin nidam yadaschedam, yenedam eidam swayam, yosmat parasmaschabara, tamprabadye swayam bhuvam. This is the Bhagavadam verse. Melpathur says, Yasmin vetad vibhadam, yada idam abhavadyena chedam yayedad, yosmat uttirna rubha khalu sagalamidam, bhasidam yasya bhasa, yo vajam dura dure punarabhimanasam yasya deva munindraha, no vidyu tatvarubam kimu punaravare krishna tasmai namaste. Addressing Krishna, he is saying this. These verses he is speaking, looking at Krishna, he is talking all these things. So that is why in the whole chapter of 98 is offering obeisances to Krishna, saying to Krishna that you are that who this yasmin nidam yadaschedam yenedam yaidam swayam yosmal parasmaschavara stambrabadye swayam bhuvam. So Gajendra surrendered there, and that realization Melpathur put it like this in the 98th chapter. That's the way to see that. So same meaning, that whatever we are seeing here, from where all this has come, from that bodham, pure consciousness inside. So, and the same bodham is present in everyone, in every living being. Ye ena chedam, and ena chedam means we are all conscious. Why? Because Krishna is inside us. That is why we are conscious. Otherwise we won't be, isn't it? So, in pure consciousness he is present inside. Yena chedam, and this whole creation is nothing but his body, because it's come from him, so it is his body. That is why the whole creation itself is his body. Vishwam is the body. That's why you will see Shandagaram Bhujagashayinam Palpanabham Suresham Vishwagaram Gagana Sadrisham. Vishwagaram Gagana Sadrisham Meghavarnam Shubhangam, isn't it? So Vishwagaram means one who has taken the form of this world. Vishwam as his agaram, as his form. That is what he is saying here also. Yenedam eidam yosmad. So, one who is beyond all these things, referring to Krishna. One who is beyond all these things, and who is present as pure consciousness, to that supreme personality, I offer my Krishna Dasmai Namaste. In that 98th chapter, there is 10 verses, 10 or 11. All the verses finishes with Krishna Tasmai Namaste. You will see that if you look into that 98th chapter. That everything is Krishna Tasmai Namaste. Because for Melpathur it was Krishna. All this whole creation, who is maintaining this, who is running, keeping this going, and who finally it's all Namaste, 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 he says there. First words, Krishna Dasmai Namaste. Second, Purnaya Vishnu Namaste. Bhadi Dasmai Namaste. Then Basi Tasmai Namaste, Krishna Tasmai Namaste, Medhi Tasmai Namaste, Krishna Tasmai Namaste, Krishna Kurma Pranamam. In this way you can see that he has talked about understanding Krishna. Understanding Krishna. Who is Krishna? Is it not? Krishna's spiritual nature. That has to be understood. Otherwise, simply seeing only the body and seeing that that's Krishna is not the proper way. To understand who Krishna is, unless we study this part of Bhagavatam, you won't understand that. Krishna's position, who he is, isn't it? So, a lot of things are spoken there in that. We will come to that later. So, anyway. So, and who and that Brahman, after saying all these things, that is you, Krishna. He says to Krishna, right? So, Brahman is Krishna. And that is why Krishna is saying, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. Brahman is not different from me. And who is Krishna? And I offer my respects to him. And how will he be? What will be his form? Is he a man or woman? Even that, Gajendra answers that. Is male or female? Or is he, what do they call it, third gender? You see that? You see, these things are problem for us, isn't it, in this world? Because we are in a human body. But one who has no body, who has no identification with the body, for him, these issues don't come up. It is even considered to be that in Krishna, if you look at that verse, you will see what Gajendra talks about. You see, look at the verse 24. Savaina devasura martya tiryam na stri na shanda na puman na jandu. He is not a demigod. He is not in the category of demigods. Not in the category of asuras, powerful asuras. He is not in that category. Nor he is in the human category, martya. Nor in the category of tiryaka. Tiryaka means all the birds and all the other living species, right? None of them. Then, what else? He is not any of these. Then what else? Na stri, he is not female. Na shando, not the third gender. Na puman, he is not male. He is not male. Na jandu, he is not an animal either. Nayam guna karmana sanna hasa nisheda shesho jayadada shesha. That is pure Upanishad words. Shiva Brahmarshi put that in. What he is saying there. So, then he is saying here that what is his identity? He is not man, he is not woman, he is not Napumsakam. Napumsakam means the third gender. That is why he said that. That Paramatma or Prabhu or Master, he is not human being, he is not demon or a demigod or male or female or anything. Then what is he? What is he then? He is saying here, these three modes of material nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, is also not present in him. Nayam guna. No gunam is present in him. Then, and that means the three modes of material nature is also not him. Right. Then what else he says? Nayam guna karma na. He doesn't have karmam also. Like we all have karmam, isn't it? When we do something, karma vasana will come, karma bandham will come, bondage will come, prarabdham will come. Many things we are bound by karmam. In him there is no karmam either. Modes of nature is not there. Karmam is also not there. And what else? Na sanna chasad nishesha shesho jayatada shesha. You can't say he is he any vastu in this world. He is not that either. He is not that either. Therefore he is saying here, and does he exist? He doesn't exist. Does he not exist? He does exist. That's how it is. You see, that is what that na, karma na sanna chasan nisheda shesho jayadada shesha. I will understand. Suppose if you reject everything in this creation, ultimately,
What exists then? The person who has been rejecting, he still exists. Is it not? Ahankaram is still existing. When that means you can see here, that time, after rejecting everything, what that exists? That exists. Even if you reject him also, then what exists? That's what he is. You know, Upanishad knowledge is like that. Everything is like that in the Upanishads. You have rejected everything. I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not this intelligence, I'm not this, I'm not senses, I'm not this world, nothing. Everything rejected. Finally, I left with myself. My ahankaram is left. If I reject that also, then what is left? That's him. That is why that verse is like that. Nayam guna karma sanna chasam nisheda shesho jayadada shesha. Nisheda shesho jayadada shesha. That means after you have rejected everything, nishedham. Nishedham means rejecting everything, one after the other. Nisheda shesho, what ashesham? Jayadad. Jayadad ashesha. That's him. That's Krishna. Why it is said like that? Because you can't explain Krishna otherwise. The same thing you will see in the Ekadasha Skandam, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying. The same thing. He repeats there also. When they asked, who is Narayana? That was the question. King Nimi, Navayogi, conversation, right? So, Nimi asked, who is Narayana? So, the answer to that, Pipalayana Maharshi says about Narayana. How does Narayana means? Narayana means like this. That after you have rejected everything, Ashesha Bandho, Nisheda Shesho, Jayadad Ashesha. That's the way. Upanishad statement that is, exactly that has been put in there also. So, you can see here, ahankaram is the last thing. After you have rejected everything, and that ahankaram also finally goes and dissolves somewhere, location somewhere in the bodham, aham bodham. That bodham, pure consciousness or living force inside, which is not have any effect of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer is in the ahankaram. It's not in the aham bodham. Bodham doesn't have any of those things, right? And also, there is not even a slightest trace of duality there. Duality doesn't exist there. As far as Atma is concerned, there is no male, female. As far as Atma is concerned, there is no happiness and distress. As far as Atma is concerned, there is no day and night. These are all dualities in life. Dualities don't exist in the Atma. And like a pure sky, space, it's present in everything at the time. And another interesting aspect of Atma is very independent. Remember, Bhagavatam began like that, Swarad, he says. Very independent. Independent means, he would not allow, Atma would not allow or recognize another thing existing outside Atma. That's his independent nature. Suppose you say that matter, world exists outside Atma. Atma won't accept that. Because he has got his hands in everything. Because of his presence only, this manifested world, we find that it exists. So if he is not there, the world is not there. Finished. So in everything he has got his hands in there. So that is why it is said like that. So that pure consciousness, and if you open your, after realizing it inside, when the rishis are saying, when they opened up their eyes and looked in the world outside, they realized that everything what they are seeing is also the same thing what they have realized inside their own body, what they have realized in the self, very self, which they have. This is how that realization also happens. First you realize the self inside, and in meditation or dhyanam, they realize the truth inside. After realization, when they opened the eyes and they looked everywhere, they realized that it is the same thing, vastu inside, Andaryami, who is present, manifested in the world in this form, in front of me. So, that is what it is saying. So, Krishis are saying this. This is all from the, I told you, Eighth Canto is nothing but Upanishad. Upanishad knowledge taken and put it into the Bhagavatam. Therefore, this canto is called Upanishad Skandam. Upanishad Skandam. So, you will see this in the it is in the Chandogya Upanishad, Tvam Stri, and that is what he is saying. Gajendra is saying this. Imagine, Gajendra is saying this. Tvam Stri, Tvam Puan, Abhi, Tvam Kumaro, that you are not... Actually, Upanishad is saying like this, that you are actually this three, female form, male form, boy form, Kumara form, Kumari, little girl form, old person who is walking with a stick. All that is, it's you. This is how in the Chandokyam, Upanishad, it mentions like that. So, and in the Ekadasha Skandam, if you look into the second chapter, what did this? This is why we say Upanishad is nothing but realization, right? So, if you look into the Ekadasham, in the second chapter, what did it say? 41 verse, verse 41. The same thing is repeated there also. Kham vayum agnim salilam mahimcha jodishim sattvanidishodrumadin saril samudramscha hare shariram yalkinjabudam praname dananya tvam kham vayum agnim salilam mahimcha kham, sky, vayu, air, agni, fire, salilam, water, mahim, earth, all these things, and plus jyotinshi sattvani nisho drumadin, all these planetary systems, whatever that is floating in this creation, sarit, all the rivers, samudram, the oceans, all this is Krishna's body. Saril samudramsha hare shariram yal kinja bodham pranamed ananya. He is saying here, Kavi Maharshi is saying this, the first Navayogi who spoke this, he is saying, Yal Kinja Bodham Pranamed Ananya. All these places, material elements, earth, water, air, ether, fire, the planets, this whole creation itself is nothing but, he says, is a temple where you are present. Temple is a place where Krishna is present. Krishna is present in all these things. So is that not a temple? That's the logic behind it. He's saying that it's nothing but a temple that is present everywhere, Krishna is present. So that verse is also pointing out to the same message, what is in this Gajendra's prayers, what is in the Ekadasha Skandam. Message is the same. Somehow the other, getting that realization is the Upanishad knowledge. Upanishad, that means you can say that you have studied a particular Upanishad. It's only when you have got that realization. Kham vayu magnim salilam mahimcha janeshu satyan dishodramadin sared samudramsha hare shariram yal kinjabodham. After saying that, what does he say? Pranamed ananya. Falls down and offers obeisances to Krishna in all directions. There is nothing here except Krishna. All what is here is only Krishna. This realization is the Rishi's realization. Rishis are saying this, Bhagavatam is saying this, Gajendra is saying this, Krishna is saying this. This is the way to understand Krishna. The way to understand Krishna. So that's what it is saying here. So Gajendra, what he did was, he glorified Krishna in the Upanishad style. In the Upanishad way he has glorified. After hearing all these things. So when these prayers happen to Gajendra, there is no reference to any person in that. Is it not? So when Gajendra was in serious trouble, crocodile is on his feet. He is almost going to sink into the water. But he is praying like this. So when the prayers came in, all the demigods, they said, it is not addressed to me. It is addressed to whoever it is, I don't know. It's not referring to any person anywhere. Only saying to that force which is... It's a totally impersonal prayer this is. Gajendra's prayers in the Bhagavatam. Completely impersonal side prayers. So naturally, because it is an impersonal way of praying, no person answered. Because only if you... That's what will happen. Brahma says to Shiva, it's not me. My name is not mentioned in the prayers. Shiva says, my name is also not mentioned. Vishnu said also the same thing. Everybody says the same thing. So when this happened, apparently there was a conversation in the Vaikuntham about this at that time. Maharishi said, look, this devotee is praying like this. Everybody is saying that they are not asking for my help. So people are, nobody is going there. He is going to sink now any moment. Somebody has to go there, isn't it? It was at that time because that's why there mentions a yeah. In the prayers also, that they have prayed in this way, that there is no other thing except this Brahman or awareness that is present here. So Gajendra in the Upanishad form has prayed, and because everyone stayed away from that, in the Bhagavatam you will see the word they have used, Linga Deha Abhimanam. Linga Deha Abhimana means that those who have identification with the Linga Deha. Linga Deha means subtle body. You know, all the devadas, the demigods, they also have a subtle body. And they have identification with the subtle body. Like we have an identification with our subtle body in the same way. So, there you can see Shrutva stotram nirgunastam samastam brahmeshadir nahamitya prayate sarvalpma tvam bhuri karunya vegal tarksharuda prakshidobu purasthal. When everyone washed their hands off, saying that I have not been addressed, naturally they didn't turn up. Krishna felt karunya vegal. He felt compassion for this sarvalpmatvam bhuri karunya vegal. So much karunyam in Krishna's mind. So Krishna thought that sarvalpmatvam. Why Krishna took initiative? Because Krishna is present in everybody's heart. Sarvalpmatvam bhuri karunya vegal. Who is present in all of us as our own very, very self. He is present as our antaryami, as our very self. He decided to come. That is the reason why Krishna had come. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and all the other devadas, they did not take an initiative to come here. They stayed because they are not addressed to me, the prayers are not addressed to me. But Krishna, who knows, who is in everyone's heart, present as Antaryami inside, in all of us, the Chaitanyam in us is Krishna. He is that living force. So he decided to come. This is in the story format, right? What it means is that, it says like that, Garuda appeared. Garuda means Vedam. Veda Chandas, isn't it? Srimad Bhagavatam will say, if you look into the word, chapter 3, verse 31, that what it says there, Tam tadvartam upalabhyam jagannivasa stotram nishamya divijayi Sahasamstuvadbi Chandomayena Garudena Samuhyavana Chakra Yudho Brigadamashu Yadho Gajendra. That means Chandomayam. All the Vedic hymns are manifested in Garuda. Garuda is the repository of all the Vedic knowledge. It's present there. So Krishna, who is Prajna, inside, all of us as awareness, it manifested in the Garuda. So, Garuda Swarupam is Vedam. Veda Swarupam is Garuda. And Garuda Garuda manifested there at that time. In Andhra, where they speak Telugu language, right? There is one devotee, Potanna, his name was Potanna. Yeah. He wrote a commentary in that language about Srimad Bhagavatam. Many, many commentaries in Bhagavatam, like Narayaniyam in Malayalam. There are so many other commentaries also like that. So, this commentary is famous in Telugu because it is written in Telugu. In Andhra, it is very famous, that commentary. He was a great devotee, this person, Potana. But he was a devotee of Ramachandra. Ramachandra's devotee he was. So, what happened to him was, when he was bathing in the river, in the 8th area, and he was chanting the holy name, he used to chant Ramachandra's name. At that time, Ramachandra appeared in front of him and told him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. It is commentary. He told him to write that. So, Potana thought, he didn't like that instruction very much. Why? He is Ramachandra's devotee. He would have liked him to say, write Ramayanam. He would have liked it. But he says, I am a devotee of Ramachandra. And if I had to write about Krishna's stories, I won't feel very comfortable with that, he said. Why Ramachandra is asking me to write Srimad Bhagavatam commentary? He thought like that, right? So first he said to Ramachandra, I cannot write Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, he said. But again and again, Ramachandra appeared in front of Potana and told him, you should write the commentary on Bhagavatam, I am telling you to write the commentary, he said. So then he looked Srimad Bhagavatam, the original Bhagavatam, and then he started writing his commentary in Telugu language, this commentary. It is at that time he understood why Ramachandra has told him to write the commentary. Only when he started writing he realized that. What happened? He realized that this Antaryami, who is Paramatma inside everyone, at different places is addressed as Rama and Krishna. But Vastu is the same Vastu. Krishna and Ramachandra are not different. And he got this realization from Bhagavatam when he started writing than when he had studied from Ramayanam. Because from Bhagavatam he got this. Ramayanam compared to Srimad Bhagavatam is more of a story of Ramachandra's life. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a lot more than what is not in the Ramayanam. So he realized that I have been after Ramachandra's form. Ramachandra is writing, telling me to write Bhagavatam. And then he realized that this Vastu I am talking, calling as Ramachandra, Ramachandra is nobody different than Krishna. This realization he got from Bhagavatam. Once you realize that, then you won't say this again, would you? So, and he started writing. And when it came to Gajendra's story, because he had to write this in Telugu language, isn't it? And when Gajendra was addressing, when that form appeared in front of Gajendra, Mahavishnu came with the eight-handed form. And he had conch shell, disc, lotus flower, and all things like that. So Gajendra was addressing with, you can see that form of that what he has seen and the form he has offered response. Look at that, at the end of fourth chapter, the verses starting from 19 onwards. Shri Valsam Kaustubham Mala Gada Kaumodagi, Sudarshanam, Panjajanyam, and then the Garuda Suparnam, Padageshwaram. In this way, it is the form that is spoken is, so, is not the Ramachandra's form, not Krishna's form either. It is a four-handed form of Vishnu with Kaustubham, Srivalsam, Vanamala, the club, the disc, the conch shell, and on top of Garuda, and Adishesha, and Lakshmi Devi. All these things come together in front of him. So, what happened was, when he started writing, he forgot to put all these things in the commentary, in this commentary. Which one? Conch shell, disc, lotus flower, all these things, right? When Gajendra prayed for help, Mahavishnu felt the urgency to come. Because he is Krishna, who is Antaryami of everyone. So he thought that it is my duty to help him. He is me, present from me, right? So while leaving Vaikuntham, Mahavishnu didn't even tell Lakshmi Devi to come. On his own he started. Lakshmi Devi asked Mahavishnu, "Where are you going?" Mahavishnu said, "There is a devotee there in trouble. I'm going to help him." Lakshmi Devi said, "I want to come with you." Mahavishnu said, "There is no time for you to come. I'm in a rush to go." So ultimately, Lakshmi Devi wanted to come. So Mahavishnu pulled her and put her on top of the Garuda. And she came with her. And while in Vaikuntham, Mahavishnu was lying on top of Adishesha. Adishesha was the bed, isn't it? So, it was so urgent, the call. More urgent than our 999. It was so urgent that he even forgot to call Garuda. He wanted to come straight away. So, seeing the compassion for a devotee, when Krishna wants to help somebody, he wouldn't even care, look, whether Garuda is there or Maharishmi is there, nothing. Even vehicle he was not worried about. He jumped all the way from there to here to see Garuda. So that urgency to protect the devotee, that is what is showing in all these things, right? So even without calling Garuda, he came running here to see the He came to Trivula Parvata where this incident was happening. So Garuda and Mahalakshmi actually were chasing Vishnu on this way. They wanted to join him, isn't it? So what Pothana wrote was in his commentary, he says that Krishna is running, Mahavishnu is running, Garuda is following him, chasing him, and this conch shell, disc, lotus flower, they are also chasing him. Because they also, Krishna didn't bother to take anybody with him. So, this Pothana had one relative who was also a very scholar. There was a lot of great scholars from Andhra, like you can see, Vallabhacharya and others had come from there, right? There is a certain area and many of the great traditions have come from there. There are very famous learned Vedic scholars from that area. So they also had great devotees among them. So one of his great scholar, who was his relative also, he wanted that after Pothana finished this Bhagavatam, he wanted to make that Bhagavatam famous, Pothana's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam famous. So what he did was, he called in them days, nowadays what happens is when you write a book, you call some big personality and ask him to release the book or ask him to write a foreword for that book. Is it not? This is the modern system. Nowadays that's what people do. Suppose you have written a book or I have written a book. People won't buy it. So what do I have to do? I have to get hold of some big guru or big person and make him to write a foreword for that. Right? Or if he is recommending, then it will get sold. That's the idea behind it. Somebody else has to write. Sometimes he may not even read the book, and he will write the foreword for that book, right? And then you have to get hold of some big publishers who will market it properly, the right way. They have to get the right advertisement behind it in this way. So, and that's how you become famous after that. And then you print one or two books if you write like this. Then afterwards people will say, "Oh, he is someone who wrote that book." So you'll know about it like that. But in them days, there were no printing presses. Nobody will write the foreword for you. There was no such thing. The system was, you have to go in front of highly learned scholars. Scholars' assembly will be there in the king's palace. And there are various vidwal sadasya. Vidwal sadasya means where scholars will assemble, debate, discuss shastram. In front of them, you have to present this book. If they approve it, then it will be accepted. Others will read it. Others will take it seriously. Right? So, he took this book in front of an assembly there. And they all looked at that book. The scholars who were present there, they looked at this book, what he has written, and asked him, that you have written so many things here, which is not in line with Srimad Bhagavatam. So many things you have changed. What's your authority? They asked him with this book, right? So this personality, who Potana's friend or relations, he said he was asking that Potana is not even mentioned about conchal disc, lotus flower and all that, and he has forgotten to call Garuda. All these things you have introduced in this book, which is not there in the Bhagavatam like that. On whose authority did you write all these things? They asked him this question. So, Potana says to them, the answer to that, that I have only one authority. Krishna has told me to write, and I have written that. That's the authority, he said. That's all the authority is. He said that I've been serving Ramachandra all my life. Ramachandra told me to write Bhagavatam. I said, I'll do it if you tell me how to write it. And I wrote it. And this is how it has come about, he said. So, when they were discussing all these things, this discussion was going on in that assembly at that time, Potana's daughter, Potana has a daughter, little girl, and this relative, who is also a scholar, his son, they were playing together in the garden of the house. In the garden of the house. So, his son, what he did was, you know children how they are. They like giving trouble to each other and having fun. So, he took a huge stone to his capacity size and dropped it into that well. There was a well there, water in the well. And dropped the stone into the water. And then he did this in front of the girl, and the boy ran away and was hiding behind a tree. The girl did not notice all these things. Girl thought that he has fallen into the well. They were playing it together. In that play, it became serious like this. He put a big stone into the well and he ran away. The girl thought he has fallen into the well. You know, in the villages, how it is like that. So, she came running and told these two people, who Potana and his friend, her father and his father, boy's father, they were there. She came and told both of them that he has fallen into the well, right? So, so they stopped their meeting, assembly, everything. Completely came to a dead stop. And they came back and jumped into the well to get him out from there. Only after jump, because in that anxiety to save, there are a lot of these wells all over. And there is no, unlike, there is no red corn, red and white corn all around. It's all lying there. People will go and jump into all these sorts of things. Nowadays we put all the red and white tape all around. And you have to put a board. Otherwise the insurance will have to pay in our system, isn't it? Suppose you come to my house and if I have a well like that, if you fall into that, you can sue me to the court. I have to pay you the money. That's apparently the system is like that. But them days it was not there like that. If you fall, you fall. That's it. You won't get any compensation for that. Like you can see, now that man who has been dragged on through the aeroplane, he's very happy. Why? He's going to put a big legal case now. A few millions he'll get. So he doesn't mind. It's only lasted that agony. Lasted only a few minutes. But now it's gone viral and everybody's supporting him for what happened. Anyway, I'm just saying how the complexity of the legal world. So now he can claim a huge amount of money. He doesn't have to work anymore. That money is going to come. So, because they themselves admitted it was the wrong thing to do. So similarly, anyway, here, this was no such thing. The boy has created this mischief and the girl has gone and reported. They came running and in their anxiety to save the child, they jumped into the well, right? Well is very deep. They don't know how to swim. They don't know how to stay on top of the water. So you can imagine. Then others came, seeing that he has jumped into the water. So somebody who could jump and save him, they saved him from that. So after he was saved and brought out of the well, they told him that your son has not jumped into the well. Who told you this? They said to him like this. So when he got the message that the child has fallen into the well, the boy has fallen into the well, he didn't ask, where is the bucket? Where is the rope? That's how you save the people. In them days it was like that. And there was also, I don't know the English name for that, there was a hook thing which you put into the water, and suppose you lost your bucket in the water, it will, you throw it inside and it will take the water from the ground and bring it out from that. Some kind of a simple system, right? So when this child jumped into the water, he didn't think whether the bucket is there, whether the rope is there, whether any of these tools were there, or he didn't even think whether he could swim. If he jump into the water, what will happen to him? He didn't even think all these things. So he just went and jumped into the water, isn't it? To save his son. So this is Potana's answer to them. He's saying that an ordinary father, ordinary person, that jumps into the well in an emergency like this. If he jumps into the well. I'm an ordinary father, he says. I jumped into the well because of this message I got. I didn't care for the rope or bucket or anything like that. I didn't even think about my own life. I jumped into the water to save him. I'm an ordinary person. If it is like that, he said to them, Pidahamasya jagado, madadhada pidamaha, vedyam pavitramongaram, riksama yajurevaja, gadar bharta prabhu sakshi, nivasa sharanam suhal, prabhava pralayasthanam, nidhanam bijamavyayam. Bhagavad Gita verses in the 10th chapter, I think. That his logic was that if a devotee is suffering, like Gajendra was suffering there, and if Mahavishnu has ran from there without thinking about Garuda, without thinking about Adishesha or Mahalakshmi, would you blame him for that? If an ordinary person like me can do this to save my son, Mahavishnu in Vaikuntham, if he has thought that he has to save his devotee here, who? Our Gajendra. If he has jumped and ran like that, it's not against the Shastra. He said. Otherwise, you have to change those verses, he said, in the Bhagavad Gita. This is the devotee. Devotee thinks different. You can't put logic into all these things. So that is why when we study Shastram, we should always bear this in mind. Devotee will do a lot of things which you cannot explain through logic and reasoning. So Potana's point was that I still stick to my words, he said. If Gajendra was in trouble and only Krishna could save him, Krishna wouldn't care whether Garuda is there, Lakshmi Devi is there, or Sudarshanam is there. Right now, the devotee is in trouble. I have to save him. Exactly like the way this incident happened when they were discussing this in the assembly. So after this incident, all the scholars in the assembly were also there in the meeting. So in this whole event, what happened? So Potana was saying to them, look at what has happened. This has happened to me. Do you not think that this can happen with Mahavishnu also in an emergency situation like this? He says like that. Therefore, you can't put all these conditions on me. Even though Srimad Bhagavatam says like this, that Srivalsam Kaustubham Malam Gadam Kaumodagi Mana Sudarshanam Panjajanyam Suvarnam Padageshwaram, all these things that Mahavishnu came on the Garuda and all that, the story is like that. But Mahavishnu had come even without all that, is also okay. It was accepted like that. So, this is bhakti. This is not yukti. Yukti means logic, isn't it? When bhakti and yukti comes together, bhakti is given the priority. Bhakti is accepted, not yukti. Because yukti can only go up to a certain level. After that, yukti has another level. A particular plane only you can apply yukti. So, what is yukti here? What is the yukti? Yukti means logic. What is the logic? Logic is this. When Gajendra surrendered to Krishna, the knowledge woke up inside. That is the reality. That is the reality. When we say like that, what that means is that, you know, in the story form, when you say, we say Vaikuntham is far away place, from there he traveled all the way here. This is the way when you understand. But Gajendra was given immediate shelter by Antaryami inside. That Antaryami's manifestation is without all these things. Without Garuda, without Lakshmi, without rope, anything. Nothing like that, right? So, Gajendra has got that realization of Antaryami on the spot, there itself, as soon as he surrendered to Krishna. There. Everything happened instantaneously at that time. That is called Abhivyakti. Abhivyakti means that immediate manifestation. So, why? Because in the previous life, he practiced Krishna consciousness. That's why it has happened. And that is called Abhivyakti. So, at the same time, when you look at it from the position of bhakti, you can see here that, you remember, Sri Narada Maharshi mentions this. When is that? When the first time Sri Narada Maharshi saw Krishna in the first canto, fourth or fifth chapter, he says to Vedavyas, from that day when I first saw Krishna, every time I chant his name, what happens? Akuti itime shikram darshanam yadi chayatasi. That's the words, you can read that. Akuti itime shikram darshanam yadi chayatasi. Now I don't have to call for him. As much as I chanting the holy name, he comes in front of me. How is that? You can't give any explanation to that. This is bhakti. So, Bhagavadam, when you study, you have to take these things into your account. Don't study Bhagavadam like everything should have a proper accounted history record and it should only happen in this way. If it is not correct. You can't think like that. This Gajendra's experience and as well as this experience of Narada Maharshi is all teaching us this. Don't bring your yukti into bhakti. That is why in the Puranams also is important principle. Always it is like this, that there are always, one thing is the sequence of events, time and different incidents, right? And a high principle, spiritual principle, when they want to present it to the world, they will use stories and other things. And if there is no compatibility between the philosophical understanding and the real incident, what has happened, whatever fault is there, that is given to the incidents, what reality of the incident, that you are accepted, that we are not bothered about it, whether it is true or not. What is important is the message that is spoken. Paramarthiyam, Laugiyam. These two things, while studying Puranam, you have to bear this in mind. Laugiyam is not given priority, but Laugiyam means worldly way of saying things, right? The stories and all is a worldly way of saying things. It's spoken that way to help you to understand the Paramarthiyam, the absolute truth. But in that process, if you find something is not compatible, the fault is assigned to the Laugiyam, not to the Paramarthiyam. Do you understand? That Paramarthiyam you can't change. That remains the truth, as remains all the time. Laugiyam you can change it, because Laugiyam is within the jurisdiction of Maya. So therefore, it can be corrected, it can be adjusted, even if there is no compatibility between the two. We'll discuss that later, another time. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.